coming to your town. And no joke, at 1-877-365-3636.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
It's the Don and Mike Show, and they'll say what they wish.
Where else would you rather be than right here, right now?
Sit down, Danny.
Hello, Danny.
Danny.
Time now to introduce the favorite part of any show. Stadium announcer Philip J. Hochberg.
Oh, ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Rob Spiewak. Take it away, Rob.
Rob Spiewak.
Thank you, Phil, and I told Sid you said hi. Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. Hair on the top of your feet and all the ships at sea. Here to discuss yesterday's big golf tournament is everyone's favorite Masters debaters, Todd Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Hey!
Sit down, Danny.
Well, hello, and it's Monday.
Monday.
April 10.
Right. Telephone number, same as it was last week. Toll free from anywhere in America. 1-877-365-3636. You know, this is not the music. We still haven't found the music that I want to use for the opening, but now this is rapidly becoming the music.
I'm quite fond of this music.
I like it.
It fits the show.
It swings.
But it's too well known. Everybody knows this is the song from Get Shorty.
Yeah, you're right about that. And it's also, I think, been used in other movies, too.
So as soon as we find the other music, I'll punch the other music in. But the song that I want to use, we finally have found out what the song is. It's out of print. Hey, Robbie, did you ever talk to the guy from the place about getting the song?
Yeah, he's working on it today, as a matter of fact. He was on holiday, but he's in today, and he's working on it. And he said he'll try and find it for us.
Beautiful. Thank you, Danny.
Yeah.
Danny.
Sit down, Danny.
Danny. You know, Danny has officially replaced Billy now.
Yes, and somebody over the weekend asked me, what is Billy? What is the significance of Billy? And I found myself hard-pressed to remember it, because I said, you know, Billy is ancient history. Danny is the new boy, and Danny's easy to explain. Danny's the Caddyshack boy.
Billy.
I mentioned that Billy was from the Paul Miner T. Talbot Bond Company.
Billy? Did Mr. Burbank touch your genitals, Billy?
Billy, you look like you could use a brand new copier.
Danny.
Sit down,
Danny.
We got a whole bunch of commercials today that utilized Danny a lot.
We did. I mean, it's fresh. It's new. You know, even though Caddyshack is a very old movie.
20 years old.
It's new to us.
Sit down, Danny.
It just shows that comedy is much like a paper plate. It can be recycled.
Well, let me just start today's show by saying something that it pains me very much to say. Before I say that, let me say, thank God for that Claritin.
Yeah, you feeling good better?
Stuff. Oh,
you never were feeling bad. It was just, you had that frog in your throat.
It was just the perpetual frog in my throat,
right.
And I've got my usual amount of phlegm from just being me, a generally phlegmy person.
You
but
sound much better.
Yeah, it's the miracle of that Claritin.
Yes, it's a miracle wonder drug.
So if anybody wants to drop by another 100 or so tablets to get me through the spring, that would be ideal, because I have enough to last. I think if you take one a day.
Did you lose your prescription card or something like that?
No, I just don't want to go to the doctor.
Just don't want
to
deal with
it. It's just a big hassle to go to the doctor and go through all the crap to just get the Claritin. I mean, I don't want to go through the time and the trouble and the expense of making the appointment. Yes, Buzz?
I'll bring you more tomorrow. You have that supply.
Ah, thank you.
Hey, that's great. You get it because you got connections that way, don't you?
Well, yes, I do.
My enabler, Guy Burbank. Well, thank you very much, Guy. Well, listen, throat feeling much better. God, thanks to Claritin. And let me say right now, you were right.
Yes.
About Big Pussy.
I really, at the beginning of that show, did not expect. I mean, I wasn't that confident. I was kind of like saying 50-50. And then as soon as the show started, I knew I was going to win the bet. I knew immediately. Because inside of the first 5 minutes of the show, he gives Pussy a look. He gives Big Pussy a look when they're at dinner. And he looks at him kind of funny-like. And not only, I mean, it was absolutely perfect.
I was flip-flopping.
Right.
Flip-flopping, thinking, nah, it's not going to happen.
Do you think too obvious? It's too obvious they're going to whack him?
They won't kill Big Pussy. He's too big a part of the show of The Sopranos. Mm-hmm. Then when they got him out of the boat.
Right.
This is like all my nightmares coming true. Cause
this is what I'm just tapping my wife. She got mad at me because I was, every time, now, first of all, Big Pussy is the fish. Right. I tap my wife on the shoulder. Mm-hmm. She goes, okay, okay. And then they say, hey, they go to his house. And I tap her. I tap her on the shoulder. She says, okay. Then they bring Big Pussy to the boat. And they said, let's go down and look at the mahogany. I give her this big tap. She goes, I know. You're going to win the bet. Just stop it.
And the whole time I was tapping Frida. Although I was tapping her harder and harder and harder until it was finally like OJ and Nicole.
Yeah, you were a stand-up guy, though, when they finally...
I had to cut my wife's head off last night when I
wow.
when I lost that bet. Yeah, you know what? Even when they were on the boat...
I wasn't going to call you because of the violating the don't call during the Sopranos rule, even though it was...
No.
I was going to call you at the end of the show.
I had to call because even when they were on the boat...
I couldn't contain myself. I was not... I who pride myself on occasionally being somewhat gracious, I lacked all grace last night when Don called because as soon as I picked up the phone, I went...
You know, when he was on the boat, I thought, he's going to warm out of it.
I thought, really, that he was for a second there.
They're going to let him live.
Yeah, because he's their old pal and all that.
Or they're just going to shoot him in the kneecap or
right.
something. But no,
right.
they killed him. The bastard.
They whacked him and they dumped him in the sea, just like I said.
Right.
Just so, like I said, based on Buzz's little thing that he read in the news.
On the boat.
I already paid you your $50.
You did, and I was broken. I needed the money. Thank you.
And maybe now you can officially stop your whining about how you never win any bets.
I've got a good string going, and I'm very happy, and that's two Sopranos bets in a row that I've won. And
yeah, I'm never betting on that show again. Absolutely never.
It was a weird one, though. We discussed that. It was not my favorite episode.
No. Nor was it mine, and not because I lost the bet.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the bet was just a sidetrack. In one way, I'm glad that I lost the bet because they killed off another major character.
Right.
Which is the sign to me of a show that likes taking chances.
Absolutely.
But frankly, I thought a much better end of the season episode would have been the one where Janice killed Richie.
Yeah, they could have ended there, too.
You know, they lose me. The Sopranos, they lose me when they have the dream sequences.
I don't like dream sequences in anything.
It's like when they've run out of real stuff to do on the show.
They could have gone with the Tony... I'll tell you this. I think it was the funniest. I laughed more than I had all season long at The Sopranos between him getting the Woody.
Oh, his big boner when he was sitting
God.
There with with Melfi or whatever her name is.
That's right. And just him getting sick and hearing the... You know, when Carmella says, we better not be out of Coca-Cola. That made me laugh.
When AJ was standing outside the bathroom door.
What is that? It really was. They went all the way with that, too. But I don't like the dream sequence.
Nor do I. And not enough left hanging over the head to keep the suspense going. Because you know Tony's going to beat the rap about this thing with the plane tickets. You know that's just garbage.
His mother gets arrested at the airport.
Anthony.
Well, I'm at the airport. I've been here since 9 o'clock this morning.
There's talk now of her turning informant.
Really?
Possibly because of the arrest.
Wow.
Oh, good. That would be good.
Yeah.
Listen, either way... We've just got to stop talking about The Sopranos now because it won't be on until... Just let me give you a timeline.
Astonishing.
The Sopranos will not be back on until after the next Super Bowl.
I know. It's okay. Ridiculous.
8 months.
So let's just stop talking about The Sopranos now. It was a great... How long is that show on? 3 weeks? They do 3 weeks of shows and then they quit for an entire year?
It seems like it. And, you know, other shows, regular television, they come on in the fall and then this... You know, after May, they go away. You know, and then they take the summer off and then they come back in the fall. The Sopranos wraps up basically...
They're done.
But more importantly, they don't start in the fall. They start... You know, it's ridiculous. In late January.
Ah, but the great news, if you watched HBO last night, you saw the promo. That Arliss is coming back. You know, how does that show possibly stay on the air? That worthless show.
I really wish that they would come up with one more. I mean, I wish they obviously have got shows in development all the time, but we could use something to tide us over. It doesn't have to be a mafia show, but something decent, please.
Well, no more Sopranos. That's it. Moratorium on the Sopranos now until next January.
Oh my God.
Yeah, really. I'm serious. That's how it goes.
Big Pussy sleeps with the fishes.
You know, that was stupid, too, I thought, when they had the fish talking. I mean, I understand the symbolism and everything,
right.
You know,
I was busy
with the fishes.
I was busy hitting my wife, though, because that's the moment where I knew. You know, the symbolism was there all the time. You know, it was just like, hey, Tony, hey, I'm a government informant. There you go. All right. Big Pussy sleeps with the fishes.
Big Pussy. All right, so that's it. Sopranos is over.
Yes.
Won't be back, as I mentioned, until after the next Super Bowl.
Oh, there'll be a tremendous void on Sunday nights.
Yes, there will, for goodness sakes. What did I used to watch on Sunday night before The Sopranos?
The X-Files for a little while.
Yeah, right. Well, I'll go back. The X-Files is going to be off TV, right?
Right, and you can catch the reruns you missed during The Sopranos.
Yeah, did anybody catch the that live thing, Failsafe, that was supposed to be...
Clooney?
No. Was that... I forgot to watch it, actually.
Yeah.
There was like a million good shows on at the same time last night. God damn the TV networks when they do that, when you had The Clooney Show, which I wanted to see, and you had
Don Quixote,
The Regis Show, which I'll go by once in a while.
Mm-hmm.
No, the Don Quixote, that's wasted on me. That
I know you hate
queer
that
Don Quixote.
I would have liked to see that just because it's John Lithgow, and I like him. He's perfect for that role. I would have liked to see him in that.
No, but you had like five different shows on all at once.
It's not Sweeps, is it?
No.
Not yet.
What are they doing? It was just dumb luck.
All right.
Just dumb luck. And then 10 o'clock comes, and all of a sudden, you're back to having 198 channels and really nothing to watch. Nothing to watch. Except the great news that Arliss is coming back.
Yay, Robert Wool.
Robert Wool. You remember when the show Arliss first came out? I guess it was maybe 3 years ago.
Right.
And we had Robert Wool on the show. And the only reason we even had him on is because he was such a Batman freak. And he was in the first Batman movie, the good Batman movie with Jack Nicholson.
Well, he's a hell of a nice guy. Great guy. Really fun to talk to.
So we had him on and he pitched us on this show Arliss.
Mm-hmm.
And we thought the idea was great about
the premise is a sports agent. We thought it'd be fantastic.
Sports agent, and he would be able to have all of these athletes on. So we said, well, watch the first episode, and then you call us next week, and we'll tell you what we thought of it.
Yep.
And, you know, God bless him. He was really hard up for publicity. He called the show, and one of the few chances that you get on the show where we are absolutely 100% honest with someone, we told him, the show sucks.
We discussed it, and we decided that we were so disappointed that we couldn't help but be honest with him, and maybe it would help, and he welcomed our constructive criticism.
He called in the next week, and I think the week after that, and I think it would have been 4 weeks in a row of him calling in when finally we called it off.
Yeah.
We said when Robert Wool calls this week for the critique of Arliss,
we got tired of doing it because it was every week we were disappointed and every week we were telling him we didn't like his show and he was being polite and it was very awkward and it was very tense and we finally got tired of doing it. He was a stand-up guy. He sat there and took it, you know, and now he's laughing all the way to the bank now.
I don't know how that show stays on. HBO must just have time to fill.
They're like in syndication land now, aren't they? That's not, that show's been on the air that long where they've got enough episodes in the cam where they can sell it to somebody else.
No, but who would buy that? It's like that old show, Dream On.
Yeah.
No one ever sees that show anywhere.
But it's in syndication. That's all that they care about in TV land. They care about that.
I don't think there's been an HBO show that's gone on to be in syndication.
Well, Dream On is the example.
Was that on regular TV ever?
Yeah, Dream On's been on regular television.
Was it really?
Yep.
Well, it's not now, is it?
I haven't seen it. But it was on some other. I saw it somewhere else,
briefly.
Actually.
Yeah. Brian Benben.
That show sucked.
How do I remember that guy's name?
God, I hated that show.
Brian Benben and Wendy... Is her name Malik?
Malik, that's right.
Ah.
Isn't she on Just Shoot Me
That's
now?
Also correct, yes.
That anorexic hag who thinks she's so hot on Just Shoot Me. Would you like her?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, okay.
Not like super duper like, but I...
Yeah.
You know, if you gave me a choice between her, you'd have to give me a who would you do on between her and somebody else. I mean, she'd be up there for me. She'd be way up there.
Her or George Segal?
Oh, Segal.
Seagull.
All the way.
If he brought his
banjo.
George Livingston Seagull.
Just him and his banjo.
Hello, John and Mike show. That's another one of the great dividing lines between me and Mike.
Yes, absolutely.
Back on the old Johnny show,
mm-hmm.
I used to hate any time Johnny Carson had George Segal on when he would come out with his banjo.
I love George Segal on that show.
Oh, I hated that.
He was fun.
I hated that.
I don't think Johnny liked him either. That's what I enjoyed about the fact that Johnny really didn't like him.
Johnny. Hello, Eric. Eric?
I hear breathing.
Robbie, are the phone set? You know, this entire studio is upside down today.
Hello. It's Monday.
Mm-hmm. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hi.
Hi.
Hi, I want to congratulate Mike for winning the bet.
You sound like you're Scottish. You are correct, sir. When it comes to The Sopranos, I am a mastermind.
You are. You rule.
This guy almost sounded Scottish at the beginning.
This guy sounds about 13.
13?
As all of my fans are 13.
I'm 30.
13 years old.
No, that's a great show, and I mean, you're just...
I'm a mastermind.
You are a mastermind.
That is true.
The mastermind.
I'm a mastermind. Thank you for calling. That pleases me greatly. Goodbye.
Have a great day.
Goodbye. Thank you. Hello. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hello, Don. Hi, Mike.
Hi there.
Hey, gentlemen. I wanted to let you know, last week, Orioles opening day, they interviewed a gentleman who was out
ballpark. And the reason why I'm calling is you mentioned sleeping with the fishes. Well, when they interviewed him, they apparently asked for his name, and he gave his name as Luca Brasi, and they printed it in the newspaper. It was brilliant.
And, of course, the Godfather.
Yeah, Luca Brasi, the big fat guy that gets his hand stabbed.
And it was funny because they said he was a 39-year-old contractor. It was great.
Luca
All right,
Brasi.
Thank you, my friend.
Thank you. Have a good day.
Thank you. All right, ciao. See you later.
Hello, Tom. Tom, buddy.
Hey, how are you?
Hi, we're great, thank you.
Hey, I was thinking about your little phlegm incident last week, and I had a really good story to recount to you.
What's that, sir?
My when my father was younger, my father had cancer of the throat. And when he was healing...
You're off to a good start, thank you.
And
got our attention.
He used to have Slurpee cups located all over the house, and he used to have to spit up phlegm all the time. So, strewn throughout my house would be half-filled Slurpee cups filled with phlegm.
Oh, lovely.
Yummy.
So, one day, my cousins and I were at the park playing, and a particularly hot day, and when we ran in the front door, my cousin Andy picked up the first cup he saw and started chugging it. And it was a cup full of
phlegm.
A couple of daddy's phlegm.
Yes.
Daddy's homemade phlegm. All right, thank you.
I thought you'd appreciate it. Thank you.
We did indeed.
Have a good day. Oh,
it was a lovely story.
Oh, man.
Tell it well.
Well, I thought it was a very lovely story.
Lovely, sure.
And you tell it so well.
Such enthusiasm.
Such enthusiasm.
Hello, Mike. You're on the air, Mike.
Phlegmy.
Hello.
Hi, guys. How you doing?
Hey, great, thanks.
I just want to tell you, I loved those dream sequences. I was laughing my ass off most of the night.
On The Sopranos?
Yeah.
Oh, you know, that's such a great show. They shouldn't waste our time with the dreaming. They should just get to the real stuff.
That's the point, but I think I know who they're going to replace Big Pussy with.
Who?
Well, they're going to go out on the hunt, and they're going to replace him with Robbie Two Sandwiches.
Robbie, you mean like Rob Spiewak?
Yeah, you remember when you did that a while ago?
All right.
No, it's funny. I guess we don't.
Goodbye.
Aww.
Even though we knew that was Rob Spiewak.
Goodbye. Hello. James.
Yes.
Hi, James.
How are you doing?
Hey, we're doing great, thank you.
Good. You remember, Big Puss, the last time that he saw the Fed, he gave him not only the information about the airplane tickets, but a tape as well. And that tape was a recording of Tony talking to that Indian guy in the beginning.
Oh, he did give him a tape?
Yeah,
he gave him a tiny microtape.
Oh, okay.
He did when they were sitting in the car. You're correct.
So he could get busted.
You know who I like? I like the FBI guy. The main old FBI guy that busts Tony. Oh. I don't know who that guy
is. The guy with the glasses, you mean?
Yeah, yeah. He just looks so much like a real FBI guy would look. It's perfect. And I know he's been in other movies. I know he has, but I'm not sure what he's been in. He just looks real cool.
Wait, how about Carm Naked?
Oh, man. Carm with a fur coat.
I wish they'd show some of Carm.
I'd like to see Carm's teats. That fur coat couldn't cover up that ace.
I'd like to see what she looked like. I really would. Very curious about that.
Sure.
Hello, Brian.
Hey, Don and Mike, how you doing?
Hi, we're doing great, thank you.
I had a question about the Sopranos episode last night.
Yes.
At the very end, when the guy who owns the sporting goods store and stuff, and he's packing up his car and he's leaving, and they were doing all these cuts, and there was one cut where this guy was smoking a cigarette, and it seemed like he was passed out, and some Amish guy walks up to him and steals a cigarette. What was that about?
I didn't understand that either.
No, I don't know.
I don't know. It was weird.
Hold on.
I will research it for you and get back to you.
Brains has a theory.
I think it harkens back to the first season. Remember, there was that hotel or motel that was run by Orthodox Jews.
Oh, that's right.
I think it was just a show that, you know, things are back to normal.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you had to watch that show all the way back to the first episode, because didn't Dr. Melfi ask Tony last night if Big Pussy was carried away by the... Remember in the first season when Tony used to sit by his pool?
Right,
and look
by
at
the ducks.
Yeah, by the ducks.
That's right, and I forgot Dr. Melfi, that's her name.
Dr. Melfi.
Dr. Melfi. The dream sequence with him when he's fully turgid.
He got a big boner.
He was hysterical.
Hello, Brian.
Hey, buddy.
Did you wonder during that scene, do you think that they used some sort of prosthetic? Or was that real Tony?
Do you think James Gandolfini really had a boner the whole time?
If that was really James Gandolfini, I mean, that's really something.
I don't think that psychiatrist is that hot.
No.
That you could maintain a boner like that.
Yeah, especially the whole crew around and everything.
Take after take.
Just wondering.
Hello.
Hey.
Hey.
Hey, guys. I just wanted to comment. The guy from Arliss. Have you guys ever seen the movie Hollywood Nights?
Yeah, he plays, what the hell is the character's name? He plays in Hollywood Nights.
It's like a Ralph Malph type.
Right.
Something bomb. New bomb.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's it.
He's new bomb in Hollywood Nights. He's great in He's good in Hollywood Nights. It's the only thing I like Robert Wool in.
I liked him in Batman.
Me too.
Mm-hmm. I liked him in Batman. But his show Arliss sucks.
Yeah, it does.
Tony Danza, who's here's a trivia question from Hollywood Nights. Who is Tony Danza's girlfriend in that movie?
I have not seen it recently enough to tell you.
Very famous actress.
Isn't it Pfeiffer?
Michelle Pfeiffer.
Yeah.
That's right. Very good.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey. The best scene, I think, at the finals last night was when AJ was standing there in the hall with that lost and bewildered look on his face, and he says, "Who's letting the big wins?"
That was a good touch. Yeah. When Tony goes in and starts puking, and then all of a sudden they came through with the farts.
I know.
That was excellent. Hello, Brian.
Yeah, hey, Don. Hey, Mike.
Hey, buddy.
Hey, Buzz.
Hey.
Hey, listen, there was a sequence at the very end there where somebody slips into a 25-cent movie theater. You know, the adult get your culture with a roll of quarters.
And you know what? I didn't understand that part of The Sopranos either.
No idea.
I read an account of that today that explained it for me once I read it, and that was, as Rob was saying, they were showing that everything was back to the way it was at the end, and they were showing the bad things that this family that we've come to love so much wreaks havoc with in terms of the drugs, the pornography, the gambling, all those sorts of things.
Well, thanks a lot, guys.
Okay, so that's kind of like reinforcing that these are criminals.
You know what I wish they would do? I just wish that if that was the case, if that's what they were doing,
right?
I urge them next year to dumb the show down a little bit.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I agree.
I don't like necessarily at the end of a show going,
what's that mean?
What was that about?
Right.
I mean, dumb it down for stupid guys like me.
Yeah, here.
Just have Tony whack guys.
I just realized another reason why you probably didn't like that show is that they're going to have Christopher's going to be made.
Listen, I've dealt with that, with the fact that Christopher's not going anywhere.
You're gonna
get your button. Hello, Jeff.
Yes.
Jeff, hi.
Have you guys seen the new CBS Mob Shot song?
Oh, please. You know, anything that any network puts on that is a rip-off of The Sopranos.
Well, it's got the Christopher's old friend that got whacked by Tony and Big Pussy.
It's got a pale in comparison. The show is called...
It's got that guy in it.
Yeah, but he gets whacked next week, I think.
The show is Falcone, right?
Yeah, Falcone.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, it sucks. It's really not even a Sopranos rip-off. It's more a rip-off of Donnie Brasco.
Right.
Yeah, and you can't do Mafia with censorship. It just doesn't work.
It's true. Mafia and CBS do not go together.
Absolutely. You can't spell Mafia with CBS.
Touched by an Angel equals CBS.
Absolutely.
Okay. Hello, Jennifer.
Yes.
Hi.
Hi. I just wanted to make a comment about the little tape that the Big Pussy gave to the FBI guy.
Yes, ma'am.
When they were in the restaurant, when they were having there were four of them sitting around, and that guy from Italy was asking them about the phone card scam.
Hey, you know what? Let me interrupt you for a second. I want to tell you something. I've come around on that guy, too. I think that guy's an excellent addition to the cast. The guy that Tony brought back from Italy, the guy with the long hair and the ponytail.
I couldn't agree with you more.
He hardly says anything.
Well, he's such a badass, too. You know, and did you hear when they bring up the phone? What's the scam? You know, he's totally into being a criminal.
Hey, what's his name? Furio?
Furio.
Yeah, he's good. I like him. He's
wearing his big
addition.
Blouses. His big fancy embroidered blouses.
His Italian shirts. Yeah, he's good. And I was against him joining the cast originally, but he's an excellent hire.
Furio's going to be the guy when they really don't want to do the dirty work that they just send him
He's
in.
He's the enforcer.
Absolutely.
Well, what I was going to say about Furio is that when he asked about the telephone card scam, Big Pussy didn't let Tony answer. He answered for him, and Tony didn't make any comment. And I wonder if when they get the tape is going to be Pussy incriminating himself because he knew that they had figured him out.
You know, that is really
definitely... You could be right.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right about that.
Okay, cool. Mm-hmm. Well, thank you.
Could be right. Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye.
Once again, though, I plead with... Is the guy's name David Chase? Is that the guy that runs... I plead with you. Listen, do you hear these conversations we're having?
Yes.
Please, dumb this show down.
Absolutely.
Please. Well, we don't need to analyze a show.
Mm-hmm.
You know the pisser, and I'm going to say it again, the thing that just pisses me off to no end is that you bastards, you put out this great show.
Right.
You put it on for 3 months. We're all here. Everybody's got a boner for The Sopranos.
Yes.
And now... It's going to be gone for 8 more months.
And it's gone.
That just cannot suck enough.
Well, I really do believe, and I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt here, that I do believe that that show is as good as it is and as consistent as it is because they put so much time and effort into putting it together. It is like a movie every single
time. Please, they do 13 episodes. You mean you couldn't at least double that?
I don't know.
Do you mean to tell me that James Gandolfini works... What do you say,
40 weeks a year on that show?
I don't think it's James Gandolfini. I think it's the whole, you know, all the writing of it and, you know, just the location shots and all that kind of stuff.
I just find it hard to believe that they could work a little harder. That's all I know. They could work a little harder. They could slap together a couple of more episodes.
I wish they would, but I think that the quality might suffer. If they doubled up, the quality might suffer. It might not surprise
me. But it would still be better than any other crap on television.
Yeah, it would. I mean, even a dumbed-down version, and it would be probably a dumbed-down version. So you'd get your wish. You'd have double the episodes, and it would be dumbed down. Their plots would not be nearly as complex. You'd have the whole thing done like in the Bada Bing Club.
Listen, I'm happiest when Tony just kills guys.
Right.
That's when I'm happiest, and when he's talking to the psychiatrist.
Yep.
That's what I like. Mm-hmm. That's all I like. You just give me 60 minutes every week of Tony shooting guys, then going and talking to Dr. Melfi, and I'm happy.
All right. I think, I'll put some screenplays together, set them up there.
Hello, Ed.
Hey, what's up, buddy?
Hey, buddy.
Hey, did you guys enjoy that show like I did?
What?
I'm not going to talk to somebody this stupid. Please. He was talking about The Sopranos, I believe.
Hey, welcome. You know, not too late.
Hello, James.
Hey.
Hey.
This guy shows up on New Year's Day and says, Merry Christmas, everybody.
Hello?
About the end of the show.
Yeah.
What they were doing was they were showing all the different businesses that Tony owns, and everybody that was part of Tony's group is at this party, and everybody who works for Tony was out working their asses off, and they were showing the difference between all the people who are making Tony rich and then everybody who enjoys the riches.
I buy that, too.
Hmm.
Although it's got to be dumbed down so we can understand.
Hold on. This is a major problem with a television show. Mm-hmm. When you have to interpret the ending of a TV show, this is bad. I mean,
but what's great about it is we can watch it again this week. You can check it out.
I
know.
You know we will.
Now I want to go back and try to understand that again.
All right, what about Furio?
I love my girlfriend Chrissy.
What?
Why, did I miss something? I thought you wanted to talk about Furio.
I think he was just being a creep.
Hello?
He was just sneaking that in there. A little greeting, a little personal greeting. One more thing about Furio. And you know, he could have politely asked and we would let him say hi to Chrissy.
Hello, Dan.
Hello.
Danny. Sit down, Danny.
Danny.
Chrissy.
Danny.
Sit down,
Danny.
Yes, Dan.
Danny. Yeah, talking about that new bomb Turk.
New bomb Turk.
Do you remember his talent?
His talent was he could fart.
Fart Volari.
He could fart Volari.
Right.
That's right. And Hollywood
he got up and
he did,
Volari.
Right. Yeah. Great show, guys.
Thank you, my friend.
Goodbye.
Hello, Bob. Bob.
Hi, Mike.
Hi there.
Hey, did you guys catch the race yesterday?
Catch the what? Oh, the goodies headache powder race?
Yeah.
Headache powders.
I saw it.
Okay, did you catch the commercial with Leah Remini for Quaker State Motor Oil?
I already commented on it. It's been on ESPN before.
I am officially the biggest Leah Remini fan in here today, though. Did anyone stay up late on Friday night and watch The Late Show with Craig Kilborn when Leah Remini was on again?
Really?
Yes. Oh, really?
Yes, she was coming out in a pair of snakeskin pants.
Mm.
Yes, looking very, very hot, and she was very, very funny, and the relationship she has with Craig Kilborn appears to be very similar to the relationship she has with us.
Probably the relationship she has with every man.
I think so. I mean, who knows, but it was the same type of tension when he was commenting on her pants to the point where she got annoyed, and he wanted to see what kind of material, and she said, well, take a look, and so he was looking at the tag in the back of her pants.
Oh, my.
She was saying, don't look at my ass. It was quite an interesting show, but she looked different.
Hmm.
She looked like she may be doing something different with her hair, but she looked very sexy.
She looked good?
Yeah, very good.
Oh, she looked good.
She looked good. Leah, good.
Oh, she looked good.
Leah, terrific. But that show, Craig Kilborn, man, I mean, you got to sit through him to get to the guest now, and I don't know what he just does a lot of different stuff, you know, where he's like modeling a sport coat, and they say, Craig's wearing this, and he's just turning around and doing pirouettes.
He thinks he's funny.
He does think he's funny. And they had a wooer in the audience who should have been not only removed, but should have been taken into a dumpster and thrown into a dumpster. Somebody was going, woo, woo, woo.
Hey, you know what? For all you know, and for all I know, that could be a guy that CBS put in the audience themselves. It could be a plant guy.
Well, if they did that,
to give the show some fake energy or something like that.
If they did that, somebody ought to be fired because the woos were so obnoxious that you could hear at one point you hear this woo woo. And it was a woman who was doing the woos, and you could hear her just laughing at her own obnoxiousness, which, I mean, you could hear all this. And I said, well, when they come back from commercials, the wooer, will somebody will have told her to tone it down. But no, all the way through the whole thing. Craig Kilborn would say something like, well, it's great to be here. Woo!
Yeah, you know, I wouldn't doubt that's a plan. That's much like, I'm sure you know, you've heard these radio shows.
Right.
Where you have one or two guys doing a show,
mm-hmm.
but it sounds like there's 50 guys in the studio, and
sure.
and it's like they have a real audience. When something somebody says something funny, you know how we do the applause like this, and you get two or three guys applauding?
Mm-hmm.
It sounds like 100 goddamn people are applauding.
Absolutely.
That's absolutely, it's the same theory.
It was phenomenally annoying. Between Craig Kilborn, who is sometimes funny, more often than not, he's not funny, and waiting for Leah, but I did wait for Leah, and it was worth it to see her come out in her snake gear. And is what's the name of her assistant? Is it
Michelle?
Michelle? Michelle was featured. She did a story about Michelle getting her some pictures, and they showed Michelle on camera because Leah was going off on how she sent her to the one-hour photo store, and she said they're not going to be ready for a week or something, and she was doing a whole riff on the pictures she got, and then they showed Michelle on camera. It was interesting.
That's the girl that looks like a little fatter Alicia Silverstone?
Yes, I believe so. I think mm-hmm. that's where it was. She was in the shadows. They had a camera shot of her, but that was the woman that came to us and told us,
asked us
if we were happy.
Did I tell you what she did in Leah's dressing room?
Yeah, well, she got on her knees or something in front of a guy.
She got on her knees. There was this guy in Leah's dressing room, one of the writers for King of Queens. Did I say this on the radio or did I tell Mike this off the air?
Tell it again. I think you told it on the air, but tell it again. Absolutely.
There was this, like, writer for the show, and he kids with Leah and kids with Michelle, and it's a very sexual kind of kidding.
Right.
He says stuff like, I'll give it to you up the...
They haven't watched the videotape, that's true.
They say, I'll give it to you up the... Like, you've never had it before. You're going to beg for it from me.
Wow.
You're going to want to plant your lips right here, and you're going to... I mean, this guy was talking like this.
That's weird.
To Leah and to the other women in the room, and they were all laughing. You're a kidder. Get out of here. Stop it. And then he made some comment about what he had in his pants was so great that no woman could resist herself. And at this point, Leah Remini's assistant, Michelle, got down on her knees in front of him and looked up at him like a shot in a porno movie and started almost rubbing her face against the crotch of his pants.
My God.
Then he unbuckled his pants and she actually pulled them out and looked inside his underpants at what was happening. And then Leah said, stop it.
Wow.
Said, stop. Don't do that. That's embarrassing.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I left early. Was it a fun show to watch?
Oh, I didn't see it. This was related to me from Leah.
Wow.
I didn't see it.
Man, I wish I'd seen it.
She was just telling me what a whore Michelle is. And she said that it was like in a room with five or six other people. And if they hadn't stopped her, they thought that she might have just pulled the guy's pants down.
Oh, my God.
Right there on the spot. And they thought that the guy was a guy who would go for it because he was a guy who was always kidding and always teasing like that.
Well, when you kid and tease like that, I mean, don't get me wrong. Under the surface, it's real.
Yeah, baby.
Yes, whip it out, Danny.
Danny.
Oh, Danny.
Sit down, Danny.
Danny, you'll love what I have in my pants, Danny.
Danny. You know, I don't know if my wife saw the High Hard One this weekend either, as a matter of fact. I got to get her on the telephone here in a second.
All right.
I do have some weekend stuff to tell you about, including my wife's bachelorette party that she went to.
Oh, my God. So you did get... She is willing to talk about it?
I guess. I have not asked her a lot.
Okay.
In real life, I've saved it here.
Good.
For this forum now, gentlemen.
We are grateful for that.
I will tell you that she left on Saturday night at 7 o'clock.
Uh-huh.
Give me a ballpark on when you think she got home.
1 a.m.
No.
2 a.m.
No.
3 a.m.
3 a.m. 8 hours away from home.
After 2 a.m., there might be trouble.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's what I thought, too.
3 a.m.
That's what I thought. Well, 2:50 to be exact.
Okay. 2:50.
2:50.
Isn't that like 1:30? Or what time the bars close?
Bars close, I think, at 2 a.m.
2 a.m., okay.
2 a.m., but still.
So she went to closing time, maybe.
Still.
Right.
2:50.
I'd like to hear what goes on.
10 minutes until 3 o'clock in the morning.
2:50.
And I was absolutely sound asleep, dead to the world. It's only because when she came in, she's such a clod that she opened the door and the door slammed against the wall. And then she went over and she shut the bathroom door, but instead of shutting it
quietly like you do when you sneak in. She just shut it normal, and all of a sudden I'm awake, and I look at the clock, and I said, 2:50. And at first, I didn't think it was that bad, because the clock says 1:50.
Right.
So I'm sitting there for a second, and then I'm realizing, wait a minute, we didn't switch this clock.
It's 2:50.
It's really 2:50. It's not 1:50 in the morning.
Was there significant conversation when she came to bed?
She came to bed. Now, here's another weird thing that she did.
That was good.
Normally what she'll do is, and you know, she got all hotted up. She wore her leather pants.
Right.
And, you know, got herself all hottied up.
Uh-huh.
Normally when she comes back from going out with her friends or even just going to the movies,
mm-hmm.
what she'll do is she goes in the, like this little closet by our bedroom, and she takes her clothes off in there, and she comes out and gets her junk, and she goes to the bathroom, and then, you know, she puts the oils on her face and all
right.
that girl stuff. Well, for some reason, that routine was broken on Saturday night. Excuse me, Sunday morning.
Mm-hmm. She just jumped into the rack and...
At 2:50. No, she just went directly to the bathroom.
Ah.
Where the door was shut and then locked. And then the next thing you know, she came to bed.
Okay.
And when she came to bed, I was pissed because it was 10 till 3.
Mm-hmm.
So she just nudged me and she said, hi, I'm home. You know, meanwhile, I'm wide awake.
Right.
I'm like,
you're feigning asleep.
I'm like, huh? What? Huh? Are you home? And then I said, it's 10 till 3 in the morning. Oh, I know. I couldn't leave early. I brought you a bottle of vodka. I said, thank you. Good night. Just rolled over and went to sleep.
Intriguing. That is intriguing. We might have to get another side of the story here.
I've heard none of the details. I have purposely not asked my wife for a lot of the details about what happened on Saturday night.
Well, let the Inquisition begin.
And it shall. It shall. The Inquisition shall begin in just a moment. Let's do a quick break.
All right.
We'll come back. Robbie, Touchstone's got him right here. Let's do a Caller 100, a prize package. Selected especially for you.
All right.
Be the 100th person to call Toya right now on the toll-free line at 1-877-365-3636. Caller 100, prize package, chance to have your rent or mortgage paid, and on Friday you're going to be putting another drawing. We're giving away a portable DVD player on Friday.
Oh, yeah.
From DVD Express, so a lot of stuff happening. Be the 100th person to call Toya right now.
What that dang old internet, man. You just go on there and point and click, get in there, talk about www.com. You got them naked chicks on there, man. You go click, 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 click. It's real easy, man.
Having a beer, listening to the Don and Mike Show.
True,
true.
True that. We will be in New York this week. Wednesday. Thursday. All days, doing the show from WNEW-FM in New York.
Cool.
We'll have some of our limited staple of New York friends on.
All right.
Including, well, let me give you a clue. He's a weatherman for a morning show, a national morning show, and he's black.
Hmm.
I know, that narrows it to three.
Boy. I can't guess.
Okay, I'll give you another clue.
All right.
He's not fat.
Ah. That narrows it to one.
Right, yeah. Of course. Tony Perkins will be coming. I think Wednesday Tony's coming on. Actually, I think that Charlie Broyhill talked to him via the passing messages back and forth, and I sure hope that Tony got the message correctly. That I think Charlie said to me that Tony Perkins said he would be fine to come down tomorrow.
Ah.
But I hope he doesn't come down tomorrow because we won't be there tomorrow.
That'll be very uncomfortable. I hope that doesn't happen.
Won't be there till Wednesday. Also, this week on the show, what's his name? Greg Brady is coming on to talk about the Brady Bunch. Even though we've talked to him a million different times, we'll talk to him again.
Good.
Next week on the show, live in studio, Rick Rockwell.
Hey.
You know, the Who Wants to Marry a Millionaire guy.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes, he's coming in.
Wow.
And also next week from The Daily Show, a guy I think is very funny. Have you ever seen Lewis Black?
Yeah, I love Lewis Black with his fingers moving. That's fantastic.
He's angry.
Oh, he's always angry. That's great.
Big and fat and angry.
Terrific.
He's coming in next week, too. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
All right, am I calling 100?
Yes, what's your name?
Cool, Kelly.
Hello, Kelly?
Yes.
Kelly. Kelly, where are you from?
Do you know where I'm from?
Where are you? Some neck city.
I am from...
Greenville.
Yes.
Yeah.
Outside of Greenville, yes.
That's right, some redneck city.
Thank you.
You have won a case of Sunkissed Oranges.
Oh, man.
Great.
Sunkissed Oranges available at your local grocery store, but wait, there's more. You qualified for this week's weekly giveaway. Friday, we're giving away a portable DVD player valued at $1,500 from DVDExpress.com.
Great.
Please make sure you're listening to Friday's episode. And you qualified for our next big free money show.
Money show.
Friday, I think it's April 28th. I got to look at a calendar. The last Friday of the month, that's our big free money show when we pay rents and mortgages. How much do you pay every month in rent or mortgage?
About
$970.
Excellent.
Love to make that happen for you. Please make sure that you are listening to the show on Friday, April 28th. Thank you. Hold on, please.
Okay.
All you next down south will be interested to know that I did log some time with the NASCAR.
Yes.
Yesterday.
Good.
The Goody's Headache Powders race that was on.
Chris, our production director, informs me there's a guy that's a frequent winner on NASCAR that is fun to listen to, that has such a thick southern accent that he's almost impossible to understand.
What's his name?
I don't remember what his name was. It was one of those drivers. You know, there's so many of them that I don't. I know Dick Trickle, Cale Yarborough.
The race yesterday, the thing that made the race yesterday interesting was the track that they ran on.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I could actually hear you suckling your drink there.
No, that was the sound of the ice. It was not the suckle sound. In autumn.
What you heard though.
Was the...
Okay.
Yeah, you'll never hear me suckle.
The track itself. You know how normally those tracks have big, long stretches and they wind all over the place?
Yeah.
The track that they drove on yesterday was about as big as our parking lot here. And the top speed in most NASCAR races that I've seen these guys go 200 miles an hour and over,
right.
The top speed yesterday was like 90 miles an hour because the track was so short that these guys would go like maybe a quarter of a mile and then they'd have to make a turn. So it wasn't really like watching a NASCAR race. It was more like watching rush hour traffic because it's impossible for one guy to catch up to another guy.
Wow.
Because they all just went in a line.
So it's a smaller track than normal, huh?
Much, much smaller track. Did log some time with that. Also logged some time with the Masters.
Yes.
Listen, Jim Nantz is also going to be on the show this week when we get up to New York. And I am really just going to beat his ass.
Good.
About his verbiage during the Masters.
It's out of control.
I think he's straight. I'm pretty sure Jim Nantz is straight.
Do you know what my theory is?
However, he sounds so queer during the Masters.
I get the impression, and I got the specifically listening to the telecast this weekend, I get the impression that those announcers, after Gary McCord got banned from the Masters for talking about bikini wax, those announcers are scared S-less. They are so afraid to say anything that's even remotely controversial, and what they do is, it's like I'm listening to announcers that are trying to impress somebody's parents on a date.
This is Jim Nantz. I'm here in the Butler cabin with Dick Enberg.
or as he called him, Dickenberg. Did he not? Did you hear him introduce?
I didn't hear him say that.
On two separate occasions, he said, "And we'd like to welcome to the CBS family doing interviews from the Butler cabin, Dickenberg." I swear, you get a tape of it. That's how he said it. The first two times he introduced him on Saturdays, and we're very pleased that today, broadcasting from the Butler cabin, we welcome to the CBS family, Dickenberg. If he didn't say it like he said it twice like that when I heard him.
BJ Singh comes up to the 18th. He has a 20-foot putt, and now he's reminded of what his son said. Papa, trust your swing. The beautiful majesty of Augusta on a Sunday afternoon, and the green jacket, and all the green jacket entails.
It was so, I don't think it's ever been as overdone as it was this time. I know they always try to do it, and it's become a great tournament to watch because it's so nice to see on TV. But I think that what they're just overcooking it as far as that flowery. And Jim Nantz is
the worst.
He's the chief chef in charge.
He's the worst. But the queerest thing of all of the Masters was not Jim Nantz. It wasn't that stupid music that they insist on playing. That Peter, Paul, and Mary.
See, I love that music because I think of the Masters. I think of golf. I think of spring when I hear that. I really do.
No, you know what it is? It's like when you go to a cheap subdivision and you have cheap houses, and they're trying to make them something that they're not.
Yeah.
It's like you're trying to give, or it's like people who have no class
trying to go out, and I'm one of those people myself, who occasionally will try to dress and make you think that they have class when really you know underneath.
Absolutely.
They don't have class.
That's faking it. It's pushing it a little too hard. And
the whole thing with the masters, this is it. This is what they've been waiting for all along. And meanwhile, you got the soft, the guitar strumming in the background.
And then you see the guy from the club, you know.
We will broadcast 56 minutes uninterrupted.
You know, we are here. We will broadcast 56 minutes uninterrupted.
And that whole thing with the green jacket's kind of queer, too. But the queerest thing of all was David Duvall's outfit.
Something is wrong with David Duvall.
David Duvall's outfit was like Sprockets. You ever seen that? Mike Myers thing?
Right. Absolutely. Okay. Hello, Sprockets. We play the golf, and we will not move our neck.
David Duvall's outfit looked like something that if I went to one of these restaurants that my wife likes going to with her friends, it looked like a uniform that a waiter would wear.
Yeah, in like a Japanese restaurant.
In one of these restaurants. Because what it is with Snap, it was not a golf shirt.
Nope.
And it was not a T-shirt.
No.
But it was
darn close to a T-shirt.
It was like a T-shirt that had
a mock turtleneck.
A Star Trek neck on it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah, wasn't even a real mock turtleneck.
No. You know, Star Trek Next Generation, how they had the very high neck that had just a little indentation right above the Adam's apple?
Well, he's lost like 40 pounds. That's his big thing. He's been on this fitness
game. Oh, and he wants to show it off that he's got, big, muscly arms.
God, he looks ridiculous out there. And, you know, he's losing, which is really funny to me. Because, you know, most people that I talk to, big golf fans, there's just something about David Duvall that you don't like. You can't like the guy because David Duvall is a guy, he'll make a 60-foot putt and he'll put his hands up in the air and he won't even crack a smile. He'll just be like, he'll have that same look on his face.
Well, he's just wearing those sunglasses also.
That's right, those stupid sunglasses.
That not even the baseball players wear anymore. Players used to wear them like 5 years ago, but
he
still wears them, so I spent a lot of time just watching David Duvall, watching this weird Sprockets outfit that he had on.
Officially my least favorite golfer on tour.
And the best moment of the Masters was they're coming down the home stretch, and this guy, Vijay Singh, this guy who won it, he's acing it. I mean, everything he's making every putt. Even when he makes a bad shot, it ends up being fantastic. So they're on either the 17th or the 18th, and this is like David Duvall's last chance. The ball's in the fairway. He comes back. He swings. As soon as the ball goes up in the air, he's pissed. And then the next thing you see, he's got his club in his hand.
Right.
And he's just going back and forth and back and forth. And giant clumps of grass and stuff are flying all around him. He's just having a major, major meltdown.
He is wrapped real tight. There's something not quite right about him.
I watch him
and, you know, he's not a guy that you feel for when he makes a great putt or he makes a great play because he's so totally nasty out there. He comes across, you know, and I don't like to slam a guy that, because who knows what he's really like, but I've seen him interviewed.
Oh, no, you know he's a prick.
I've seen him interviewed, and I've seen him the way he behaves out on the golf course. And all I can say is the guy comes across as the biggest prick in the world. He really does. Because
he is.
He's snotty, he's arrogant looking, and, you know, he doesn't smile enough, and he doesn't loosen up. And, you know, it's depressing to watch him.
Don't golf courses have queer rules like that you have to wear a shirt with a collar if you're going to be playing golf?
They've got very stringent rules. The PGA, has very strict rules about what you can wear. That probably had to be approved, and it had to be, you know, it had to have a certain kind of like turtleneck collar on it. He couldn't come out there with a T-shirt. I think what he's trying to do is maybe set his own little fashion trend. And he looks like a doofus in that outfit. It looked okay when he wore the long sleeves because it looked like he was actually wearing a legitimate real turtleneck. And then when he took the shirt off and he's wearing that like spandex top, it looks stupid.
And that's when Jim Nantz gets his queerest.
As you can tell, David Duvall's really been working out the last year. Look at those forceps. Look at those biceps. Look at that.
Forceps.
Look at that.
Look at those forceps sticking out of his pocket.
Biceps, I mean.
Just big biceps. That's all they talk about the guy, and he's not, you know.
At one point, Jim Nantz actually said,
look at his big veiny arms.
How queer is that?
You know, there are lots of golf tournaments.
Look at his big veiny arms.
There are lots of golf tournaments. There are lots of prestigious golf tournaments. But there's something, I get the impression when they go down there that there are certain rules that they have to adhere to that are nowhere else in the country. And those guys, they really, they're like they're being watched. Like you got this old, you know, these old club members down there that if they see one thing go wrong,
Hey, did your guy say...
Oh, you know what? That is a damn fast green. You get out of here.
You don't have to piss those guys off. I read the newspaper over the weekend. The big news that they elected, like, they let the third black guy ever join that country club. And it really has to piss them off.
Did you hear, Earl? A colored fella won the Masters. And it wasn't Tiger Woods. It was that other colored fella. There's nothing we can do about that. He had a 7-stroke lead. Damn colored fella won the Masters. It's a bad week for us here at Augusta. We had to let one of them join our club. And now a colored man has won the Masters.
Do you realize that out of the last 4 years, coloreds have won it twice?
You know that's under the that's right underneath the top layer.
Yeah, read the history about that
you
golf
know
club.
That.
Absolutely.
And they were wondering why Vijay Singh wasn't getting the ovations that past tournament winners had when he made the turn onto the 18. I'm like, hello, hello, he's black. Hello, they don't even let black people play at this course. Hello, you got a black guy. He's like and he's from Africa.
From Fiji.
Right. But I mean, he's been everywhere.
Sure.
He's played golf. I heard him say he played golf in Africa.
As Jim Nance would say, a journeyman pro. All over is the beautiful flowered azaleas. Backdrop with the green. You know, I say, shut up. Shut up. I know it's beautiful. I love golf. Shut up. Shut up, please.
What else are they saying about?
So great to see a man of color win this tournament for the second time.
Yes. Tiger Woods. That's what they said when they interviewed Tiger Woods. And when they interviewed Tiger Woods, the guy who's interviewing Tiger Woods, he's afraid of Tiger Woods, okay?
Was it Dickenberg?
No, it was it was Bill McAtee.
Bill McAtee,
okay,
right.
So Tiger Woods has lost this tournament.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, hi, Tiger. Gee, thanks for, he starts by kissing his ass. Thanks for coming and talking to us.
Sure.
I have to ask you these questions. I just have to ask you. Like, he's going to be asking the toughest questions
right,
in the world.
Right.
What went wrong out there today? And Tiger Woods is very gracious.
Tiger's got his act together.
He said, listen, I had a bad first round. I came back. The gods weren't with me today.
Yep.
I hit some bad shots. I could have won. And finally, Tiger, I must ask you this. And just understand, I must ask you this. A man of color winning this tournament now for the second time, what does that mean to you?
He looked at him like he's an idiot. Tiger Woods just looks at the guy and goes, that's fine with me.
That's fine with me. I lost. Get out of here.
You know,
leave me alone.
And then he said, God bless you. That's the last thing Tiger Woods said to Bill McAtee. He was, God bless you.
God bless you.
God bless you.
Interesting.
God bless you, white devil. Leave me alone.
Go away.
Leave me the hell alone.
Oh, man.
Okay, so listen, the weekend, before I get to this thing with my wife.
Yes.
I would just tell you a couple of things that happened this weekend. First, with all the bitching that I did, when we came back from Christmas vacation, with all the bitching I did about people not taking down their Christmas lights,
right.
Do you know that it was finally this weekend that my wife and I got out the ladder and got up on the roof and took down our Christmas lights?
No.
They'd been up there the...
At the beach.
Oh, at the beach.
At the beach.
Okay, that's a little different.
But they'd been up.
You were screaming for, you made me go home one night. You didn't make me, but I mean, you were just, you made me think about it, and I took down the lights that night.
Well, it wasn't the fact that people had
like on January 3rd.
It wasn't the fact that people had them up, but that they were still turning them on.
Oh, that's
because
silly.
The Christmas season was officially over.
Mm-hmm.
So we finally went up on the roof and we took down the lights, and then. The grass down there in a place at the beach was just, like, looked like the Nasty Bush contest we had here in the studio.
As high as an elephant's eye?
Yeah, the grass was very high.
Right.
So I went next door to my father-in-law, and I got his lawnmower that hadn't been used for 2 years, filled it up with gas, cleaned the spark plug, got this baby started, and I'm cutting the grass, which is really a chore because the grass is so high. Now, keep in mind that this is the lay of the land.
It's the lay of the land, my boy.
The way that the thing is laid out down there at the beach at Ocean City is that there are three houses in a row. It's our house, then it's my in-law's house, and then it's my sister-in-law's house.
Mm-hmm. All with like a causeway in between them.
There are like those stones.
Yeah, I was going to say there's like one of those pathways that's covered up. You know, you could actually connect the houses if you wanted to.
Well, they do have pathways with those big gigantic pieces of
stone. So it's easy access
from one house to the next.
Right.
So as it turns out,
I start cutting the grass, and as soon as I start cutting our grass, I realize, you know what, now I'm going to be obligated to cut my father-in-law's grass also.
Right.
And I'm thinking of it the whole time I'm doing our yard, I'm thinking, well, I'm going to have to do 2 yards today. There's just no way around it.
You got a riding mower or a push
no,
mower?
No, push mower. Like, okay. You know, my father-in-law is, you know, 75.
Right.
He can't be out doing this. True. I got to do it for him. But then I see some light because I see down 2 houses away at my sister-in-law's house, her boyfriend, Pat, he's out with the lawnmower.
Oh, good. Okay.
So, and at one point, actually, where it's weird the configuration of the houses, but at one point, all 3 yards kind of come together to a point.
Right.
Okay, there's one point.
Mm-hmm.
And at one point, I got right down by where the 3 lawns meet, and Pat got down by his and gave him a wave, and he gave me a wave, and I thought that the wave indicated...
You were both going to take care of your mother-in-law's yard together.
Yes, I thought the wave indicated, I'll take care of this half, you take care of that half.
Mm-hmm.
So I went happily on my way, thinking, oh, you know, once I get done with this yard, I'm going to only have to do either the front yard or the backyard of my in-law's house.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be fantastic. I get done with ours, I go over to theirs, like, well, that's odd, because I can see where Pat's house comes right up to my in-law's house.
And that's where the mowing has officially stopped.
Yes, and he's done a perfect line right down the property line.
Yeah.
You know, much like you would if you had just had a regular next-door neighbor.
With no desire to do anything more than his share.
No, so what I did was I...
Bastard.
I thought, well, you know what? Maybe he did the backyard.
Right.
You know, here I am being too harsh on the guy. Maybe he did the backyard.
The look that both of you exchanged kind of indicated that's the way it was going to work, right?
Yeah. And there was nothing that was verbal. Certainly nothing that was said. I never said, hey, I'll do half, you do
right.
half. But
right.
Let's face it, it's Saturday. We're both out cutting the grass. We both know that, unless my father-in-law can't go out and cut the grass himself.
Mm-hmm.
It would be rude just to cut your own yard and not cut the mother-in-law's yard.
True.
So I get done with the front yard. They're like, whoo, boy, am I hot, I'm tired. I turn the mower off, that's how positive I am, and I walk around towards the backyard when all of a sudden I realize, once again, the grass is coming up almost to my calf.
Nothing has been touched.
That he's not done anything.
He's in the house now. He's in the car.
You know,
he's out going shopping.
I don't know where he is.
Right.
I don't know where he is, so what I'm doing, I go back out. I start the lawnmower up because I want to catch his eye. I'm like 5 feet away from his house because this is how close the house is.
In the time you're searching for him, you probably could have finished the lawn already, right?
No, I'm not really searching for him,
okay?
I'm not like...
But you're hoping, you know you're going to have to do the yard.
Yes, and what I'm doing is now I'm just postponing it and hoping that he'll come. What I do now
is... So you still think there's hope that maybe he might tackle half of the yard, or maybe you might just say, hey, can you do half?
Yeah, and at that point, that's what I'm ready to say.
Okay. All right.
Hey, Pat, I did the front. How about you do the back?
Mm-hmm.
So now I've got the mower right in between the 2 houses. And what I do is I just unscrew the spark plug just that much so that when I go to... It just won't start.
And hey, that's a good move.
And all it does is it goes... And it's making tons of noise, but because the spark plug is not screwed in all the way, it's not making contact, it won't turn over all the way. And meanwhile, I'm just ripping my arm out of the socket, just going,
right.
Pulling the thing, going, the whole time I'm just looking over at their house.
Just to see if he might come wandering, hey, listen, my mower won't start, will you do this for me?
But not a sign of him. So finally, after about 5 minutes, they screw it. I just screw the spark plug back in, get started up, did the rest of it the whole time I did my mother-in-law's backyard, I was constantly staring at the next house.
And he never showed.
I would just walk like this.
He was peeking out at you.
just walk like this. Just, my head just pointed, and I would turn and go the other way,
staring.
Just stare at the house the whole time.
So he let you down.
Yeah, well, but it was nothing verbal. I can't say he officially let me down.
Did you ever see him for the rest of the weekend?
No, I did not.
So you were never even able to address this?
No, I wasn't, which is why it's great to have a radio show. Because I know it'll get back to him eventually.
Of course it will.
And just for the record, if it happens again, you know, I don't care if it's the backyard or the front yard, you can choose.
Sure.
But, you know, if we're both cutting grass at the same time, you know, you got to help out DeMond Pa-in-law.
Absolutely.
You know, Just take half and I'll take half.
Well, I think he's obligated to go through Midsummer doing all 3 yards.
So then,
that's just my opinion.
Nice. So then just about everybody that I saw all weekend, that's the first thing I mentioned to them.
That's cool.
Whenever someone would come over.
I think you're legit. I think that's legit.
Somebody would come over and go, hey, oh, wow, your lawn looks nice. Oh, you did mom's lawn. That would did you do mom's lawn? I said,
right.
Yeah, I did. Yeah, Pat cut Judy's yard too, but you didn't help me out on your mom's lawn.
No. Well, how much time did it take for you? Would you estimate
about an hour? About an hour to cut my in-law's yard.
I mean, that's nothing
major,
but it's significant. Yes, there's significant lawn there. It would have cut your time in half if he'd pitched in.
Pitched in, but he didn't.
And did you see him? You saw no evidence of him for the rest of the weekend.
Nope.
Huh. He's hiding
from me. I don't think he was hiding from me.
He was. I guarantee you, he was in that house, looking out there, going,
sure. Okay, great. Okay, he's finished.
Probably in his underwear, you know, just waiting to go watch
having
TV.
Having a beer.
Having a beer in his stocking feet. No. His sore feet from over the front.
I get done with that, and then my son had a friend come down for the weekend, Gaston. And they wanted, dying to see this David Arquette movie.
Gaston from Beauty and the Beast?
I didn't know that there was such a character in Beauty and the Beast.
The famous character, the big strong guy from Beauty and the Beast.
That's his boy's name is Gaston.
Gaston.
Very nice young man. And at this point, I am just drenched with sweat and I'm, you know, pissed at Pat.
Right.
And frankly, I've done more work in 4 hours than I've done, like, for the last 6 months. I've been, the ladder up on the roof, taking down the Christmas lights.
Manual labor.
I'm doing all this crap my wife asked me to. I've cut my yard, cut the next-door neighbor's yard.
Mm-hmm.
And my son says, you promised we could go to this movie. So then that was, the saving grace was the fact that he had a friend there. Because all I did was just drop them off.
Oh, good. Okay.
I didn't even have to go see the piece of crap David Arquette movie, which, incidentally, they loved.
Of course they did.
They loved, said it was the best movie they'd seen since Big Daddy.
Big Daddy. All about wrestling.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah, they couldn't look stupid enough.
Right, you know, and then I got into this debate with Bart and his friend about why I hate David Arquette.
Right.
And I guess it all really comes down to the 1-800-CALL-AT&T commercial.
Right.
And once they realized that they weren't going to win that battle with me, they wanted to play the game Ghost.
Okay.
You ever play the game Ghost?
No, how do you play?
Well, it's very simple. It could be the word could be ghost, the word could be doofus, it could be any word.
Mm-hmm.
It's a word game. Now, you play with three people, me and you and Buzz. Mm-hmm. Mike, you give me a letter. T. Then I would go I. And Buzz, you would have to add a letter. P. Then it goes back to Mike.
S.
You would lose because tips is a word. You understand?
Well, why didn't you explain it to me at the beginning?
This is my way of explaining it to you.
Oh, okay, that's lead by example.
The word has to have four letters, at least four letters, and what you don't want is for the word to stop when it gets to you.
Now I understand.
And you can fake someone out, like if it went T-I-P-S, you could have said S, and I'd be sitting there going, T-I-P-S-S. And I could either challenge you on it.
Okay.
Or
then you have to say the whole word that you were thinking of?
Yeah, and then you would say, well, you didn't have a word.
Okay, see, I was thinking tipster.
Right. Yeah. But
if it makes a whole word,
then you lose.
Then you lose anyway.
Then you're out.
All right.
And for instance, if you lost that round, you would get the letter G.
Okay.
And what you don't want to get is ghost. So this is the game that they're playing with me.
I understand. Let's do one more round, please.
Oh,
please,
okay.
Please, for the love of God.
All right. We'll start with Buzz.
Why? A.
R.
X. I challenge you.
What?
Okay. Obviously, I don't understand the game. That was supposed to. That was supposed
like
to,
playing with my 80-year-old mother.
Okay, no, see.
That's right.
Well, exactly, Mike. Exactly.
No, you lose.
Just
explain the game.
You lose.
I know.
Were you paying attention when he explained the game?
I was.
All right, let's try it one more time.
Okay.
I'll go first. Mike, you go third.
Yarks.
Okay.
I thought I was trying not to make a word.
No, Jesus.
Okay.
L.
O. D.
Well, L-O-D, give me a moment. L-O-D.
All right, this is like playing with these kids.
There you go.
G. E.
You're out because you spelled a word, lodge.
Okay.
If you used I,
correct.
Then it would word would have been lodging.
Correct.
And you would have been okay with that.
Okay.
See that?
Yes.
Do you understand it now?
Now I do.
Okay, one more time.
All right.
Okay, we'll start with Buzz.
Mm-hmm.
R.
E.
N.
T.
You're out.
You're out again.
You're out because you spelled rent.
It's going to take a while.
See, you'd have G-H-R-P. You want to try it again?
Yes.
Okay, let's do it again.
Okay.
Mike, you start.
Z.
E.
B.
R.
Okay, A. So I would lose that one.
Yeah. There's no way out of that, right?
Okay, and because I lost that one,
mm-hmm.
you would get
G.
I start the next one.
Okay.
And I get a G.
All right.
Okay. B.
A.
H.
V.
Challenge.
Bahamas.
Oh, you can't use places.
Proper names.
You can't.
Now you tell me.
All right. Okay. Well, now you know.
That's how we learn.
Okay. Let's start again.
All right. You can challenge me again on that. B-A-H.
Okay.
Behind.
Your big behind.
Come on.
Okay.
All right.
Your
one
big
more.
Behind. One more. One more. Go ahead, Mike. Sorry.
D.
A.
B.
B. L.
I. N.
Well, F you guys.
I learned.
You did learn. He finally
well,
learned.
You.
It only took you four times playing the game.
Well, that's F right. you. So that's the game's ghost.
That's good. That's mm-hmm. a good thinking game.
And these kids were just killing me because... Like they would set me up.
It's terrific. It's a spelling game. It's a vocabulary game. It's good.
They got me on. Would you get a word with AA?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. See, I
one
I
aardvark.
I did not think.
Was the word aardvark?
Yes. Of course, it was the word.
Yeah. Not many words that start with AA.
I must have driven down the road for 5 minutes before I said,
mm-hmm.
"Okay, you guys." Challenge, yeah. You're both big losers. They put together aardvark.
I know this. All the words that start with AA because of the animal and also because of the meetings that I go to.
Time out. Listen, the only thing I haven't told you about this week will be the bachelorette party that my wife went to.
I'm dying to hear about
and
this.
I will call her up and we will get that report right after this.
This is the...
It's caused us nothing but trouble.
Don't worry, I'm just trying to get some music so I can relax. Will you listen to that?
Do you feel lucky? Your chance for free rent or mortgage is coming up. Only on the Don and Mike Show.
Hey, Dad, I got a new record today. Is it okay if I play it on the phonograph?
Well, of course, Eddie. I think it's very nice for a young boy to be interested in music.
Phil? It's the Don and Mike Show.
Hey, Buzz, stand by. I'm going to be coming to you for a little early fix of news and comment.
All right.
Because I'm pretty sure that my wife is doing carpool, which means we might not get the real story. We might have to wait till she gets home.
And as you've mentioned, you don't even know the real story yourself yet.
No. Almost afraid to ask.
It's pretty amazing self-discipline that you can last the whole day on Sunday and, you know... Well, it's partly self-discipline. It's partly this is where you feel comfortable to ask all the difficult questions.
On the show.
Right.
On the radio. So much easier than in real life.
Oh,
my cell phone right now. Well, please leave a message if it's important.
I just talked to her during the commercial. She must be in the bad cell picking up the boy at school.
Did you check her clothes or anything like that? You know, for the sense of man.
Oh. You know, sad to say,
oh, no.
I did.
Really? Yeah, but see, the scent of man.
I did. And
if a woman's wearing a perfume, usually the scent of man doesn't come through.
I only got the scent of smoke.
Okay.
So I know that she was in plenty of bars.
Mm-hmm.
I also know this. Oh, is this her calling right now? Hello?
Can you hear me, boo-boo?
Hi, sweetie. I just tried to call you.
Oh, well, I'm here.
Oh, well, are you in a good cell? Are you ready to talk about your party?
I guess it's okay. Can you hear me?
Yeah, she sounds loud and clear.
I can hear you fine.
All right, good. Well, I'll wait. I'll be a couple minutes to pick up Lee. But, you know, I know you don't mind me being a bad mom. You didn't mind me going out on Saturday night. You're pretty loose, aren't you?
So you're breaking up a little bit.
Yes, she is.
Mm-hmm. What did you say? I don't mind you what?
Well, can you hear me better now, Sugar Bear?
Yes.
Well, you just have to wait and find out, won't you?
But she's teasing.
I know she's teasing.
She's teasing horribly. And I think our listeners, and myself included, we are all being teased.
Mm-hmm. So I'll tell you that she did wear her leather pants.
Leather pants are, you know, that can be trouble.
The hottest pair of pants that she has.
Mm-hmm.
She did get herself all fixed up.
Right.
She did leave at 7 p.m. and did not arrive back at home until 2:50.
So you don't know anything about the evening, whether there were, you know, men involved, strippers,
nope.
Anything like you have. None of these questions have been answered.
All I know is that they wanted a limo and they were not able to get a limousine.
Oh, really?
That's all I know is that the limo fell through at the last minute.
So they had to take individual cars, or
I don't even
know that.
I didn't ask.
That's fascinating. I wouldn't be able to do that. I would not be able to last all day without just peppering my wife with questions.
Well, it was a back and forth thing that she wasn't offering, and when I would approach the subject, I would get one word answers.
Hmm. So you would say something like, "Did you have a good time?"
And she'd say yes, and then I wouldn't press on. I'd go, okay.
So it's kind of a game.
Yeah,
it's kind of a chess game.
Would you say we were playing a game on Sunday about this?
I think it was all happening in your head. I really don't have any secrets from you. I was a very fine person. I came back late. Yes, I have to admit, late, but not as late as I could have. There was an after breakfast with men that were met there that I could have joined in on. There was more partying that was invited at the Howard Johnson's room 307, which I turned down. So, you know, there was much that could have happened that did not.
Hmm. Oh, but I'm curious to know what did happen, though. If you heard about a party at Howard Johnson's in room 307.
Mm-hmm. And incidentally, if you're going to have a classy party, make it the Hojo's
at room 307.
No, that's where some of the men that we met invited us to.
Oh, well, now this is what I would like to...
That's interesting.
This is what I would like to speak to you about, the men who you met.
Well, what did I tell you on Sunday? What did I say? I am so glad I am married.
So you met some men that were staying in a room in the Howard Johnson? Who was it, Tony Montana?
There were some golfers, Irish golfers, Mike.
Really, like from the old sod, from Ireland?
No. They were like your kind of Irish.
Oh, my kind of
American Irish.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, listen, I just want to say also, I knew it was trouble because I know that you ended up at Secrets. And any time you end up at the bar Secrets in Ocean City... You know, people go there just to get laid. That's the only reason people go to
the meat market. Classic meat market.
They go there to get laid.
Did you go to the paddock?
No. No, see, I can't hear you. I told you to call me earlier, but I can hardly hear you.
How many guys hit on you?
You're breaking up.
How many guys hit on you?
There were, I could tell you, at least four. I mean, more were talking to me, but they were, the pants are what did it.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Did you dance with other guys?
No, I didn't. I didn't dance. Just talked.
Did you kiss?
No, I didn't. I wasn't even drinking. I was drinking water. And when you say I came home,
were you kissed?
No, boo. I didn't kiss. I did see some guys.
Were you kissed?
No. Uh-huh. I did see some guys' underwear, but I didn't choose that.
How did you happen to see a guy's underwear?
Well, his pants came down, but it wasn't my... I just happened to be right near him when that happened.
See, I would just like to point out that if the shoe was on the other foot and I was relaying this information,
uh-huh.
You know where I would be right now? I would be in a lawyer's office.
Right.
Because my ass would be divorced.
Right.
Okay?
I'm sorry, you saw skin. All I saw was underpants.
Boy, she's breaking up. It's driving me nuts.
Okay.
All right, talk to you later.
Call me when you get home.
Okay, goodbye, boo-boo.
Goodbye.
Her joy at this game would indicate that you don't have anything to worry about.
Yeah, and I've told you all along, I don't think I have anything to worry about.
That's right.
But I think that a little more happened than I'm ever going to know about.
Oh, sure. It would seem to me, just as an objective party over here, that drinking water all night and getting in at 250, those don't go together.
No, they don't.
250. And 250.
250.
Is a imbibing kind of time.
It sure is.
Yeah.
It sure is. Now, I didn't, you know, I didn't roll her over and sniff her.
Right.
Sniff her down like a dog when she arrived to see if she reeked of alcohol. I will tell you that the next day,
she was perky.
She had, no, she had a very, I don't want to say boozy sound to her voice, but the sound of, I at one point I said to her, hey, what's up with, what's wrong with you? And she said, well, I was yelling in a bar. All night in a bar, I was yelling at people, you know, because it was so loud.
Right.
Oh, my feet, my legs really hurt from being on my legs all night, from standing all night, talking to people. Yeah, but this is the first I've heard about a guy's pants just somehow falling off.
And it's the first you've heard about the Howard Johnsons?
In room 307, yes.
The after breakfast?
The after breakfast.
Was the after breakfast and then the Howard Johnsons, or was the after breakfast at the...
I don't know.
I mean, was it invited back to the Hojo's for some, you know, breakfast sandwiches?
Don't know.
Some breakfast meat sandwiches.
I don't know. I'll find out when she gets home.
Sounds like it was quite a interesting bachelorette party.
Either way, listen, I know I'm never going to know the 100% truth about that. I'm sure my wife didn't bone some guy.
No.
But, you know, I really don't know what happened.
Yeah.
I think that she looked hot, that she was out with a bunch of horny women at a bachelorette party, and
it's only 7 hours.
What can happen?
7 hours and 50 minutes.
I know.
I'm so paranoid.
I know. Yeah,
I'm living like through you right now, but I'm paranoid in my own life.
I know.
7 hours and 50 minutes. Where are you?
Now, keep in mind, though, you know, the double standard in which we live. When yes, I tell her that I'm going to go to the grocery store, you know, I'll come back and she'll go, you were gone 21 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
It takes approximately 6 minutes to get to the grocery store, 6 minutes to buy your products, and 6 minutes to drive home. Where have you been for the last 3 minutes unaccounted for?
I've been in room 307 of the Howard Johnsons.
And I'd like to try that on my wife sometime. Well, I did see a girl's underpants, but, you know, they just kind of fell down in front of me.
Did she make the comment, I didn't stay for the breakfast?
Yes, I don't remember.
I believe she said she didn't stay for the breakfast.
I don't know.
Troubling, Mike.
It is troubling.
Troubling.
Certain details have to be filled in.
Very troubling.
Well, let me see where she is.
That's why she seems willing to talk about it, about her evening. She seems very proud of her behavior.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sure she was good. It's just the other people I don't trust.
Was she said she brought you back a bottle of vodka. Was the seal broken?
Ah! No.
Okay.
No, the seal was not broken. On the bottle of vodka.
This is not the best vodka I've ever tasted.
The vodka tastes very salty, though.
I'm not on my cell phone right now.
All right, well, listen, later. I'll talk to her later.
We'll find out. And you'll talk to her with us here, right?
Yes, of course. Yeah, why would I want to go home and talk to her about that?
You have the power of the show behind you, and you can ask all the tough questions.
Yeah, all the stuff that I really don't have the balls to ask her in real life. Jesus Christ, I don't want to know about some guy's pants coming down and what the hell went on in room 307.
307, the BVD party. In room 307.
Room 307, the Howard Johnsons.
Come back to the Howard Johnsons. To the motel.
She did tell me, that some of the girls, and this also got me a little concerned, she was telling me about the behavior of some of the girls.
Really?
At the party. Yes.
And I suppose she won't talk about that on the radio.
No. And she did tell me a couple of things that
even
I can't
say. Even if she didn't
mention
any names?
No.
Because all the other, you know, girls that are listening would probably get concerned about it.
That some of the other girls were doing numerous shooters, and they were doing blowjob shooters.
Yes.
Okay. And my wife and I, you know, I went, huh, what? Because I really didn't know what she was talking about.
Right.
And she said, that's where a woman puts her hands behind her back, and she gets this very long drink glass, like a tube almost, and it's her job to
knock it back.
Put her head back and just... And knock it back.
Bars are fun.
That's interesting.
Bars are so much fun.
That's very interesting. So how did you do with the blowjob shooter? She says, well, I didn't do it. Well, just like at home, just like in the bar. But that's all that I found out. Beyond that, I know nothing.
I
I know nothing.
I know absolutely nothing.
As it should be, probably. Hold.
No, but it's driving me crazy.
Of course. We drive them crazy when we go to bachelor parties.
Yeah, but we go how many times? When's the last bachelor party we all went to?
Yours.
Mine.
How long ago was that? 5 years?
5 years ago.
And nobody got light at that.
No, nobody did anything at that except Charlie Boyle sitting on top of the limo. I mean, in all things considered, I was...
I'm not on my cell phone right now.
All right. That was, you know, outside of Charlie sitting on top of the limo was going 55 miles an hour. That was a relatively tame evening.
And Rob and I sitting in the gutter together.
Sitting in the gutter when I noticed you two boys sitting there. That was funny. We didn't stop. But I'll tell you, we didn't stop that party.
No.
The District of Columbia Police Department did.
That's true.
That's when we all knew it was time to go home. And we was like, right. He says to the limo driver, you're going 55 and you had a gentleman sitting up on top of the limousine holding on by his fingers.
He was sitting Indian style up on top of the limousine. Broyhill had crawled through the sunroof.
Right. That's right.
And it was actually sitting on the roof of the car.
We noticed, because we were having such a good time, the only time we noticed is when we looked up at the sunroof and all we could see where fingers hooked around the inside. That was the only thing that was sustaining his entire body weight on top of the limousine.
Talons. And do you remember his drink of choice that evening?
And a Long Island iced tea.
Yeah. Right. Because you never see Broyhill drink, but he drank at your bachelor party.
He did, and I want to thank him for that.
All right, listen, I'll get to the bottom of this thing with my wife later. Bugsy,
yes.
Let's do some news and comment. I said do. What is your lead story right now?
A new story today, the NFL star and the teenage girls.
Oh, is this about Shimura, buddy?
Yes, it is.
Oh, yeah, hey there.
The latest.
Yeah, hey there.
Yeah, one of your favorites.
Yeah, the statutory rape there. Yeah.
Oh, God.
Oh, the Shimura there. Yeah.
Go, Pack, go.
Yeah, hello. Hey there, girls.
Go, Pack, go.
Do you like the Packers?
Yeah, we're on up there, aren't we, into Green Bay there?
Yeah, we are.
Understand the judges up there wear the green and gold. You know, the green and yellow robes there.
Hey there, girls. How'd you like to sleep with one of the Packers, one of your favorites? Hey, girls, how'd you like to do the Lambeau leap? Right here into my pants.
Oh, for no checking ID.
Oh, for Chamora.
Oh, dear.
All right, so we will discuss Mark Chamora. We come right back. Right, please stay tuned.
Stay tuned.
Stay tuned.
For news and comments.
News and comments.
Coming up. On the Don and Mike Show.
Don and Mike Show. That was very...
Oh, for professionals.
This... Their experience. They suck tea.
Right.
Don and Mike.
Yes, we have. Hi, Buzz.
Hi, Don and Mike. One of the best tight ends in the NFL has been arrested. Green Bay's Mark Chamora is accused of sexual assault.
Lombardi. A certain magic still lingers in the very name.
Hold on, let me just get some music.
Hold on, I want to just get the music. I didn't want the whole talking thing.
Lombardi. Mark Chamora.
Right.
Bad behavior abounds at Lambeau Field.
With a young girl. How old is she, by the way? You know what? Let's hear the story before we make our NFL Films presentation.
Absolutely.
Police say search warrants were issued for Chamora and a friend of his after an alleged encounter at the home of a Heartland, Wisconsin teenager.
Search warrants were executed in response to complaints filed with the Heartland Police Department by females ages 17 and 18.
Now, the 17-year-old was Chamora's babysitter, and she was attending an after-prom party. The 18-year-old was in the hot tub at the time that she was allegedly assaulted by Chamora's friend. Police are recommending charges of third-degree sexual assault against both men. No charges have been pressed yet. The team also has no comment at this point as it waits to hear what will happen next.
Mark Chamora says, I'll take the babysitter home.
Due to his overactive appetite, something went terribly wrong.
And before you know it, the young babysitter was munching on the lower cheese head. But Mark, you're my favorite.
As he reached his moment of total ecstasy, he was heard to exclaim, Go, Pack, go.
The girl said they exchanged the sexual favors for a chance to get Brett Favre's autograph.
Unfortunately, charges were still filed, even after the bribe was offered of a $32,000 Packer tractor in the Green Bay Packers gully.
And somewhere, in a bar on the north side of Green Bay, Wisconsin, the ghost of Vincent T. Lombardi was heard.
Doing. That would never happen on my watch. I'm the ghost of Vince Lombardi.
Woo! I'd love to just say.
Yes.
In all seriousness. Well, first off, there's no way that Mark Chamorro should have been with a 17-year-old girl. That shouldn't have happened. But I also think it's very interesting to note that he's not been charged with anything.
Not yet.
Yeah. I mean,
he's a babysitter. Does that mean he's a married guy?
I would have to make that assumption just from what I've heard about the fact that he had a babysitter.
If it's the babysitter,
it sounds like
maybe the babysitter comes over.
You know, on the side of Mark Chamorro, I would say if you're going to pull this guy in and if you're going to announce this to the world, charge the guy with something. Otherwise, why are they dragging his name through the mud on this?
This is a case where they're going to turn that decision over to the prosecutor, over to the district attorney, and it will be up to him to decide exactly what charges should be filed. They do this, I think, sometimes as a matter of procedure, sometimes because the cops aren't entirely sure which statute is the most appropriate for that situation.
Mm.
So, meanwhile, Troy Aikman...
Hey there. Here's the case we got there. You got the Chewy there.
Yeah.
Who, like, Brett really needs for the new season there with the Packers there.
Yeah, hey there. Is that his nickname, Chewy?
Chewy. He's Brett's best friend there.
Yeah, there.
Well, I don't know there. Unless she's got one in the oven there.
Oh, yes.
I think we just better let him go there. I mean, the Packers do need a good tight end there.
Yeah, there. But I got to say one thing. All for keep it in your pants there.
All for statutory rape.
This is my deal here, Wade.
Oh, there was one last thing the Green Bay police spokesman had to say.
I think we can accomplish most anything if we're willing to pay the price.
There he is.
The price of success is hard work.
He's right.
Hard work, dedication to the job at hand, and a determination that whether we win or lose...
This is Vardy's famous speech on statutory rape.
That we've applied the best of ourselves to the task at hand.
Whoa! Coach Vince Lombardi.
Troy Aikman got married over the weekend to a former Dallas Cowboys public relations staffer.
Well, no, I thought he liked it in the butt.
The 33-year-old Aikman, long considered one of the Big D's most eligible bachelors.
Had you heard that rumor about Troy Aikman for the longest time?
Do you know, though, if a guy stays single long enough, you hear it about him, too. I think everybody, there's been a rumor that he's gay.
Sure. Married 31-year-old Rhonda Worthy on Saturday. Whoa. She has a 9-year-old daughter from a previous marriage. You know, there were rumors about him being gay, but didn't he also date that country singer Lori Morgan for a while?
And she came out...
turbo hottie.
But she came out in the press afterwards and said, yes, he did date me, but he never tried anything with me.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow, interesting.
Yeah.
Senator Fred Thompson did.
Troy Aikman. Queer? We don't think so.
Now the rumors can be put to rest that Troy Aikman indeed is not gay.
Of course, keep in mind, never forget, we don't know.
That's right, this former PR director could indeed be a beard.
This is Troy Beard Aikman.
Aikman's wedding was supposed to have been secret, but Fox broadcaster John Madden let it slip while speaking to a reporter at the Masters on Friday.
Well, how come John Madden couldn't have let that slip to us when he was talking to us on Thursday?
Because he was too busy talking about driving down the lane in Augusta without his pants on.
That's right.
John Madden's underpants.
Who will be responsible for laundering these incredibly stained briefs?
The word brown is given new life when one looks at the underpants of the Oakland Raiders' John Madden.
These guys can play in any condition, even the mud.
Well, it didn't But Boulder, Colorado police planted a microphone at JonBenet's burial site, hoping for a graveside confession from her parents. Time magazine quotes a former Boulder detective as saying...
Yeah, there you go. That's using your noodle.
Just before what would have been JonBenet's seventh birthday, investigators broke into a cemetery...
My honey, we sure did get away with it, didn't we?
...to hide a microphone and a camera.
Oh, we are so lucky. Those cops are so stupid. Yes, yes, honey, that's right. We're responsible for the death.
And we're going to be talking about how we killed our daughter right here at her gravesite.
Yes, wonderful idea. Genius police work, you morons.
Investigators say that...
No, no, John. Take me here.
Oh, you are so hot. Oh, I'm so glad the police department's so stupid that they weren't able to pick up on the fact that we did it.
We killed her.
Oh, boy, I hope there's not a tape recorder around here. Duh.
Now we're talking about it right in front of her grave.
Duh.
Investigators watched for 24 hours, but John and Patsy Ramsey never showed up for their daughter's birthday.
You know, whether these people are guilty or not, right. I still can't get over the fact that they have a book out, that they're doing all these interviews. That, to me, you know, screw them. As far as I'm concerned, if you have somebody go through that, to come out with a book, I don't get that. That doesn't make any sense. I would think that they would want to put this so far behind them, regardless, whoever was pointing the finger at him,
right.
Why come out with a book? And what was the book has some weird title to it also, The End of Innocence or something like that.
Something like that, yeah.
The book's about how they believe they're innocent and what their other theories are about the death of JonBenet.
Oh, thank you.
Who is Nero?
I just need you to say JonBenet.
Right.
You always wait. You know, I get all riled up about this story every time. And then he plays my
take.
Mike O'Mara is JonBenet Ramsey.
Oh, God.
Well, your mom and dad dressed you up in that sequined outfit.
Yeah, that's right. The cowboy hat. The cowboy hat with the fringed chap.
Yeah, that's me.
Just me, little old stage kid.
Captain of villainy.
Yes.
I was a beautiful little boy.
Yes, you were.
To kill any who say that my hook is a
cute. Big laugh. There, that's acting.
There you go.
Acting.
Bugging the gravesite. The detective says they tried again on the anniversary of the girl's death, but once again, the Ramseys never showed.
I can't believe how goddamn stupid these police are, John.
I can't either. Boy, here we are sitting here guilty of sin, and nobody's knocking on our door to take us away to jail.
Hey, I got a great idea.
What's that?
Let's write a book.
Hey, wonderful. We'll call it The End of Innocence because we're so trashy.
And on that second attempt of bugging the gravesite, the investigators used a fake tombstone they had made by a Hollywood special effects company.
Unbelievable.
Jesus Christ. That had a microphone planted inside, but a child discovered the grave marker was made of wood, and that ended the surveillance.
I'm not buzzing. Hold on a second. That's better, Bella. A lot of news to digest there.
Yes,
we'll come back
is.
And do another segment after this.
This is the Don and Mike Show. This is Sports 1140.
To their records, the only thing they do contribute is mayhem and chaos.
No, I'm chaos and he's mayhem. We're a double act.
You can call Don and Mike anytime, toll free at 1-877-365-3636. That's 1-877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
What's the matter? I'll tell you what's the matter. I go out of my way for you. I do everything to try and make you happy. I feed you, I clean you, I dress you. What thanks do I get? Oh, you bought the wrong paper, Annie. I can't write on this paper, Annie. Well, I'll get your stupid paper, but you just better start showing me a little more appreciation around here, Mr. Man.
It's Cunny-rific, the Don and Mike Show.
What?
I want a Happy Meal.
Oh, F you.
I want a cheeseburger Happy Meal instantly.
F you. Right as we're going on the air, Mike takes the sticker of his McDonald's cup and holds it up like
I'm playing the Monopoly game.
It says, you know, I want you.
won. I won Happy Meal.
I won instantly. Cheeseburger Happy Meal. A little sticker here.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Very lucky man.
It's a good day for me today.
Hi, Buzz.
I thought of Mike. Well, some of us hoped the Sopranos character known as Big Pussy would have wound up in the witness protection program, but most of us thought he'd get whacked, and last night he did. Actor Vinny...
What's this? What do you mean, most of us? What is this, most of us? I didn't know that there was a groundswell of people that thought that he'd get whacked.
Surveys taken of viewers of The Sopranos, most of them thought that Big Pussy would get whacked.
Well, I didn't think so.
Well, F you then.
You weren't among the most of us.
Well, I think F you too.
Actor Vinny Pastore from the Bronx tells the New York Post he nearly cried when the show aired last night. It was the biggest moment in showbiz for him, but it was also his last moment on The Sopranos. It's not the first time he's been rubbed out on the screen. The 53-year-old says, I've been whacked many, many times. In the movies, he's been shot in the head, shot in the phone booth, and shot in a bar. Last night, he got it in the chest.
Hey, you know, here's a question, though.
Yes?
A serious question about The Sopranos.
Uh-huh.
They killed that guy, Big Pussy.
Right,
they killed him... underneath, in the part on the boat where you, like, you sit and you eat and you play cards.
Right, right. Right.
Okay. Mm-hmm. They just borrowed that boat for a day to take it out.
Right.
What about the mess...
Exactly.
...of shooting some guy and killing him?
Right.
Wouldn't there be, like, blood and stuff they'd have to clean up?
Absolutely. And either they did it or they have a guy who does it, like in the movies.
Or they actually bought the boat and kept the boat, you know, after they cleaned it up instead of taking the boat back.
Maybe. That was just another one of the many loose ends.
Good question.
From The Sopranos.
Yeah, they might have actually owned the boat. You know, they said they were taking it out for a test drive when, in fact, they really owned it. But no, they really didn't make any contingency for the, you know, which they do in, like, the real mafia movies. You know?
Right.
So it's like plastic on the floor and stuff.
In his dream, remember, Tony said, I bought the boat, and the kid asked the 50-footer, and he said, yeah. So everybody was excited about that. Maybe that was prophetic. Maybe he did buy the boat.
You know, that's how...
he did buy the boat.
We'll know next year if he takes a cruise on the boat.
Right.
Yeah, but we got to wait till after the Super Bowl for the next episode of The Sopranos.
Really, it is. It's like next year.
Yeah, it is.
The next episode will be on in 2001.
Yeah. 8 months away.
Hold on, Buzzer. Yes? Someone may have a theory about this. Hello?
Good.
Hello?
Hello, Don and Mike.
Is this Don and Mike?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. Hey, I wanted to ask you, Don, why would Frida say no, no, no? She said no four times when you asked her to kiss anybody.
Oh, I thought you were calling about The Sopranos. You're calling about my wife's bachelorette party?
Yes, I am.
Well, just wait. Hold off on that. I'm going to get her on the air in the next break.
Okay.
I'll ask her whatever you just said. Thank you.
Okay, good deal.
Bye-bye.
No, no, no. Sorry, Buzz. I thought that was about The Sopranos.
Right, all right. Well, this Vinny Pastore, who played Big Pussy, says you will see him again, and I quote, it may be the end of Big Pussy, but I'm getting scripts left and right because of The Sopranos, and my favorite quote from him, I ain't happy about being dead, but what are you going to do?
Hey.
What are you going to do?
Hey. He was also on the bowling team in the movie It Could Happen to You. He's one of he's the head of the bowling team.
I hated that movie. That
Big
was
Pussy. When they're
Nicolas
all wearing
Cage?
Their, yeah. When they're all wearing their bowling jackets, when they go to collect the money, Big Pussy's
movie.
The leader of the pack.
I hate that movie. You love that movie, right?
It's one of my favorite movies of all time.
Right.
Isaac Hayes also in that movie.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Last year, airlines promised better service, and they ended the year by presenting a passenger bill of rights. But a new survey shows it was too little, too late, or both. Except for baggage handling, the quality of airline service fell in every category, according to the passengers surveyed. There was a 130% increase in complaints from passengers last year.
And not from Charlie Broyhill.
He doesn't complain?
No, he doesn't care.
No.
He informed me that on a number of occasions today.
We're just trying to work out the details
right.
of flying up to New York. Starting this week, we're going to be flying up to New York every week for the rest of our lives
right.
to do a couple of shows a week from WNEW. And
he made a point of telling me a couple of times today he doesn't care.
He just doesn't care.
He doesn't care.
We can fly from BWI. He doesn't care.
No, he doesn't care.
Doesn't care.
We can fly from Philadelphia. He doesn't care. He'll be there.
He doesn't care.
No, doesn't care.
Doesn't care.
A lot of passengers do care. A lot of passengers complain, like this guy. He's complaining.
Oh, right. Okay, here.
This is Larry Michael, Westwood One, Notre Dame Radio.
See?
He's very upset.
And then there's this guy. This guy here also complains.
Oh, all right.
Complaint from this guy.
All right, hold on. Here we go.
Don, you are on the air, sir.
Constant complainer.
Another complainer.
Okay, you want the real complainer?
Oh, sure, why not?
All right. Here's the real complainer.
Here's an amazing act. Here's a tremendous act. Here's a startling act. The amazing, the thrilling, the greatest, spectacular, incredible, exciting, wonderful, world fame, most unusual novelty act.
I just don't like the way that you get packed in, like, basically into a plane. Taking a bus is actually more comfortable nowadays.
Southwest Airlines was number one in the quality rankings last year. Continental came in second, followed by Delta, Northwest, and Alaska Air.
Really, Alaska Air, the one that runs all their planes into the ocean?
In fifth place. U.S. Airways, which was number one the year before, fell to sixth place.
Where was Continental?
Continental was number two last year.
They're one of my favorites, Continental.
They're one of everybody's favorites.
You've always been a big fan of Continental.
Yeah.
Everybody likes Continental.
Continental.
Then it's America, America West, TWA.
As a matter of fact, where we live, North America,
right, yeah.
It's my favorite continent.
Mm-hmm.
You country, also, too. When we're on the road, you're also a big fan of the continental breakfast.
A nice continental breakfast.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing beats a continental breakfast.
It's true.
From Continental Airlines.
And, you know, if you could, I know you don't drive them, but you've always had a soft spot in your heart for the Lincoln Continental.
The Lincoln Continental.
Mm-hmm. Great car.
Wonderful car.
Best car in the country.
How many?
United Airlines.
How many continents are there? Can you name all the continents?
I don't know.
Asia's a continent, right?
Like 8, 9.
Yes, Africa's a continent.
How many continents, Robbie?
Australia's a continent,
seven.
Isn't it?
Seven continents.
Mm-hmm.
How about that?
Count them. What's the government done for you lately? Well, maybe it's helped lower the price of compact discs.
Wait, can't we continue our discussion?
Oh, sure. Continue if you like.
That's all right.
The government may have actually taken a step here that could lower the price of compact discs.
Sorry for interrupting there. We kind of damaged your continuity.
That's all right. USA Today says the five biggest record companies may lower their prices now that they've gotten a hairy eyeball from the Federal Trade Commission.
Please continue.
It started when Time Warner got accused of antitrust practices over something called the minimum advertising price. The record company's now made a deal with the government that could have its first effects in a few weeks. You should notice the most difference at places like Tower and Sam Goody. Discounters like Best Buy don't play along with the minimum advertised price arrangement.
They should be very contrite.
Absolutely.
Contrite.
I'm still thinking about the continents and the, contiguous United States.
Some wacky contraption. Contraption. Some wacky contraption.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. Continents.
Arista Record Company founder Clive Davis is the guest of honor at the company's 25th anniversary party tonight, but all eyes will be on the label's biggest artist, Whitney Houston. Houston, who already missed her spot on the Oscar show, failed to show for rehearsal Saturday night for tonight's big party.
Oh, here's Whitney now. High already.
Boy, she really does. Hope she makes it.
That party for Clive will be on TV May 15th with or without Whitney. Houston showed up 4 hours late for a recent photo shoot. The magazine reported she was, and I quote, extremely unfocused, had trouble keeping her eyes open, and kept playing an imaginary piano.
Now, in reality,
yes,
she is fantastic. And here is a tape of Whitney practicing just a few hours ago, earlier this afternoon.
Well, she doesn't sound the same.
Put a little bit of feeling.
Whitney Houston.
Get the twisting in the kitchen. Rattle them pots and pans.
And, of course, Clive Davis.
Get up and shake. Rattle and roll.
Sing it, Whitney.
Come on and shake. Rattle and roll.
Put a little feeling.
Come on and shake. Rattle and roll.
Oh, she sounds so high.
Come on and shake. Rattle and roll.
Not focused.
You won't do right.
Singer Tom Jones says he wishes women would stop throwing their panties at him.
Oh, come on, Tom.
Tommy.
He tells the New York Post, when I'm singing a ballad and a pair of underwear lands on my head, I hate that. It really kills the mood.
He's moving into curmudgeon-y now.
All right, one more, Buzzy.
Let's make it this one, then. School's out next week at the University of Michigan, and that's got school officials concerned because the last day of school there also brings the Naked Mile. That's where hundreds of students run in the nude past thousands of spectators.
All right.
The school's asking the students to leave their clothes on this year. The school says it's mostly worried about safety and privacy. In recent years, more women have taken part in this event, and also their pictures then turned up on the internet afterward.
Go figure.
Gotta love that internet.
Thank you, Buzz. We'll come back to you for more news and comments shortly. Now, clear those lines, and let's get a caller number 100.
Right.
Prize package selected especially for you. Shot at having your rent and mortgage paid. Portable DVD player. All of that lies straight ahead. If you're the 100th person to call, call Toya right now. Phone number 1-877-365-3636.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Danny. Danny.
My niece is the kind of girl that has the best for living. The last thing any of us need right now is a lot of loose talk about her behavior.
I swear I didn't tell anybody anything, sir.
Good. Good, good. Danny. Danny. The most important decision you can make right now is what do you stand for, Danny? Goodness or badness?
I want to be good.
Good. Good. Very good. Are you my pal?
Mr. Scholarship winner?
I'm your pal. How about a Fresca?
Oh. Huh?
Here we go with a couple of station breaks in Seattle. The radio station is KRKO. Duncan, Oklahoma. Hey, Duncan. KXCD. And we did find out the station in Memphis. WWGQ.
Hey, that's good looking.
Memphis.
Helping you to understand comedy. Don and Mike.
Right. Whoa. 100 time right now. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Yes, am I caller 100?
Right, what's your name?
John Fisher.
Johnny, buddy, where are you calling from?
From Baltimore, dude.
All right there, hon. All right. Oh, the O's, they're off to a hot start.
Oh, my goodness, they are hot. I sit down on the stoops and listen to them all the time.
Hey, you got the Baltimore thing down, hon. Cal's only 6 feet away from 3,000.
My gracious.
They're guaranteed the World Series, and anyone that doesn't say so is ignorant. The new manager of the O's is Mike Hargrove.
Hargrove.
Hargrove. He's right on.
He's our right kind on. Of people.
He certainly is. Let's have a natty bow.
He's Baltimore.
All right. Hey, let's go blast. I just want to say that. Let's go blast.
Go Baltimore blast. You know, on Sunday morning, Baltimore's such a pathetic city. I was up watching. No, just hear me out on
we this. Love it,
okay.
Though.
Okay. No, right, I love it, but listen.
Absolutely.
I'm up watching the weather on Sunday morning. We're up in Ocean City.
Right.
And, of course, all along the East Coast, they got an inch and a half of snow at Central Park. They got 6 inches in Boston.
Did they bring in Morty Bass special because of the snow?
No, they had whoever the old fossil is on Channel 11.
Sure.
It was announcing the fact that they had the bad weather and that they had all the snow. They said,
but the guy that talks like this.
Yeah.
Ken something.
A guy who stands in front of the big blue screen and makes no secret about the fact that he's holding the thing in his hand that he pushes the button on to change what's happening. You know, a lot of your sophisticated weather guys, what they do is they try to hide it like it's halfway up their sleeve, and they very deftly make it switch so it goes from one scene to the next.
Seamless.
This guy holds it right in front of you and goes, "Now going out to the weather cam." Click.
There we go.
So he gets on watching the information about the weather, where they say, "Hey, guess what? We got 2 inches of snow. We didn't predict it. Shocker. Let's now get a sports update." You know what the lead story was?
What's that?
The Baltimore Blast are back in the playoffs.
Here we go. Baltimore Blast. Fantastic.
And they had a shot of an arena. I guess it was the Baltimore Arena. It must have had maybe 800 people in it. And I'm watching this thinking, oh, this is sad.
Back in the playoffs,
this is sad. I mean, you know, they've got the Orioles.
How can you say it's sad? They're in the playoffs.
They've got the Ravens.
Come on. The Blast are hot.
The Baltimore Blast. Who even knew that they were a team?
Oh, I did, and they are hot. As hot as a big bucket of English just fried chicken.
See you down to the shore, hon. Down the ocean.
Well, that's just pathetic.
Here you go. But listen, my friend, you, caller 100.
Fantastic.
Yes, and you've won Kentucky Fried Chicken.
Yay!
Ooh, that's finger licking good.
That's right. Chicken from Kentucky Fried Chicken. Try the new tender roast sandwich. One of 5 freshly made sandwiches from the chicken experts. But wait, there's more. You've qualified for Friday's weekly giveaway. On Friday, we're giving away a portable DVD player from DVDExpress.com. DVDExpress.com is the best place to go for new releases. Visit DVDExpress.com and take Hollywood home. But wait, still more.
Oh, more.
You're also in the running for our next Big Free Money Show, which is on Friday, April 28th, when we pay rents and mortgages. How much do you pay every month in rent or mortgage?
$1,236.
There you go.
It's a nice big one.
It's real good.
Yeah.
Love to pay that for you. Please make sure you listen to the next Free Money Show on Friday, April 28th. And thank you for listening.
Hey, thanks, guys.
In Baltimore, home of the Blast. The Baltimore Blast.
Hey, I tell you right now, I celebrated. I ate some chicken in front of the Bromo Seltzer Tower.
The Blast is back in the playoffs.
They're hot. I tell you, the Birds are winning. The Blast are in the playoffs. Life is good. Can't wait till Ravens football.
Jesus Christ.
I mean, the Baltimore Blast. Let's go, hon.
It's not even real soccer. It's indoor soccer.
It's the best kind of soccer because you don't have to get all cold. You know, sitting outside, getting all cold. You can root for them inside.
Play That's Your Cut, okay? Then do a good job, Boo.
Here she is.
I got to go to piano, my sweet peanut.
Well, listen, give me a moment.
All right, just a moment, because I got to take Barty to...
All right, give me a moment of your time, please.
All right. I didn't kiss anybody. No one kissed me. I was a very good girl. I can't help it if at bars at 2 o'clock in the morning that other people get rowdy.
Well, what would be the, without giving any names, of course, what would be the rowdiest thing that happened with one of your party mates?
Yeah, with one of the friends at this bachelorette party.
I'm not saying that, I'm not incriminating any of my friends, as I'm sure that you will understand from that male code of honor you have among your friends.
But you're saying that something did happen.
All I'm saying, no, I'm saying nothing. I'm saying we were invited to a party at the Howard Johnson in room 307. We were invited to go out for breakfast. Now, I'm not incriminating whether anybody accepted any of those invitations.
They did.
That doesn't mean that at all. It means but when
sure
the
does,
light
because...
came on at the bar, I was on my way home.
Because if none of the women in your party went to the Hojo to room 307, you would have just said no one went.
Okay, no one went.
Well, now you're lying.
No, I'm not. I never lie to you.
Did any of the women go to breakfast?
I'm not sure about that.
That means yes.
Were
you groped?
No, I wasn't touched. My pants were touched a little, but that was just to feel the soft leather.
By men or women?
Well, by men. But it was only on the knee.
I just want to say, if this situation was reversed, and I was
Sugar
saying
Bear,
this stuff...
Sugar Bear, I didn't... you touched other people's parts all the time on your show. I wouldn't touch it.
On the show.
On
the show.
I don't have a show.
Right. That's what I'm saying. If this situation was reversed.
That's right.
If I was just out in real life with my buddies, not out doing a show, first off, there's no way I could be going from 7P to 3A.
Right.
There's no way.
If it was a party, I couldn't leave early. That would have been impolite. I mean, I was...
And could you hear me? Could you hear me running that by her?
Because I
couldn't get home till 3 a.m. because it would be impolite.
Well, because you don't care about being polite or, you know. I mean, I was with the group. I wasn't drinking. I had a nice time. There were a nice group of girls. And I came home and I told you how glad I was to be married because, the men were oogie, but they were, you know, making their moves and asking if I fooled around. I was telling them I'd been married 18 years and you know, they asked if I fooled around and I said no.
Were there single women part of this bachelorette party?
Yeah, they were married and single.
Oh, all right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So everything was fine, and I came home, and I kissed you, and I said, I'm glad I'm not doing that dating scene. It's not worth it. But, you know, there was the man that, you know, made a point of mentioning that he was wearing no underwear, and there was the one that, you know, that dropped his drawers. But all those things happened.
Well, we didn't get that last time, the man with no underwear. But
did you see his schlong?
No, he didn't drop his drawers. That's why he didn't, because
Did he put your hand down there or
no,
something?
No, he didn't. But
well, then how do you know he had no underwear
because
on?
Because he told.
He told you specifically?
No, he told a couple of us.
Really?
Because see, you know that at the bachelorette party, there are games to be played. Like, you know, you have to collect underwear from men, and then at some bachelorette parties, not this one, you know, they have you ever seen where they wear the shirts with the lifesavers and you have to suck them off strategic parts?
Well, I know nothing about any of this you're talking about.
Well, you mean the woman will wear a shirt with lifesavers on it and men have to suck them off?
Yeah, they pay like a dollar to suck them, and if they're in really good...
What, to suck, like, where are the lifesavers, over their nipples?
They're all over. And yeah, they're sewed onto their shirt, and the good ones cost $2 to suck off.
I've not heard of...
And the bride, do you bite them off, or do you just suck them until they're gone?
The patron sucks them until it's gone.
Really? So how many guys sucked your lifesavers?
I didn't have any lifesavers. These games weren't invented. did when we got married.
Sounds like a fascinating bachelorette party. There was not a lifesaver shirt in the bachelorette
party? No, there wasn't. There was just dancing and shooters and...
There were no parlor games at all before the...
there was the one, you know, where you have to collect underwear, but that was unsuccessful.
Did you collect any guy's underwear?
I'm not getting married. I was only...
What about before you girls went out? Was there like a long dong silver there? So some guy with a big gigantic anaconda?
No.
So it was dinner and then out to the bars?
Yeah, that was it. And I even tried to have a martini and I couldn't stomach it.
I don't believe it. I believe that more happened. I'm just not hearing it.
All right, well, I got to go to piano.
I just don't believe it.
All right. Well, I love you.
I mean, I love you, too, and I trust you.
That's the bottom line.
I wish you trusted me enough just to tell me everything that happened.
You trust me, though, right?
Yes.
All right.
I trust you implicitly.
Okay, well, then we have no problems.
Okay, except, you know, for the guys with the no underpants and the guy, you know, the people touching you and stuff.
Well, I can't be responsible for everybody else drinking at the bar.
I would just like to point out for the record, if I came home with any of these excuses, my ass would be in a sling. If I came home with any, but listen, but honey, I can't be responsible for what other people do.
But you make up the games. You're there with the, you know, directing everybody.
Okay, honey, I'm on stage. It's an appearance. I'm not going out, you know, to go to a party. What I'm saying is, if I went to go out to go to a party and came back and told you some of the same things that you're telling me, I doubt if you would take them as calmly as I'm taking them with you.
All right, well, you are a saint, but I gotta go.
I am.
Goodbye, boo-boo.
Goodbye. She got laid.
Oh, no.
I'm positive.
And that sounds like a pickup line. The guy, you know, hey, I'm not wearing... Hey, what kind of pickup line is that?
It's like a line that Buzzwood uses.
No. Hey, how you doing? I'm not wearing underwear.
I've never used that line.
Hi.
Are you wearing underwear today?
As a matter of fact, I am.
Good for you, Buzz. You wear that a lot more now, don't you?
A little more than I used to, yes.
Very good. Mm-hmm.
Good for you, Buzz. Well, you know what? I'm sad to say, I don't think I'll ever really... totally know what happened at the bachelorette party this weekend.
Was it one restaurant and then a bar? They didn't go away.
I don't know.
It's tough to get information.
I don't know. Yeah. You know, and when I asked on the weekend, like I told you, I got one word answers.
Yes, no.
Did you have a good time? Yes. Did you go to a lot of places? Yes.
Right.
Was there a stripper? No.
There was a hesitation.
There was a pause.
Yeah. Ah.
You know, did some guys touch you? No. Really? You weren't touched at all? No. But then now I find out that maybe the answer to that was yes. You know,
I'd like to know when the underwear.
I'm cool with it.
When did the underwear thing happen? You know,
I don't know.
When did they discuss the underwear scavenger hunt? That's what I'd like to know.
I don't know. And the lifesavers and sucking lifesavers off girls' nipples.
Well, she said that was other bachelorette parties. I think I'm aware of that. I think I may have been in a bar where a woman had that on.
I don't love the games.
Never heard of that. Hello, Jamie.
Hey, what's up, Bob?
Hi, buddy.
Hey, yeah, my wife went out to a bachelor party this past weekend, too, and they apparently all switched bras, went into the place without bras on and stuff, so they do get pretty frisky. I don't think you got nothing to worry about, though, Bubba.
I just want you to know this gentleman has damaged his credibility by referring to you as Bubba.
Hello, not in Mike's show.
Bubba.
Buddies!
Trust me, I'm not worried. I trust my wife. I would just like to know some of the intimate details.
Well, don't sweat it, Bubba.
Hello, not in Mike's show.
What?
Hello?
Hello.
Hello.
Hey, Don, I think your wife probably did get laid.
You know we're gonna get these calls.
I know. I know we are.
Why do you?
I don't mean to bust your chops, but
not at all.
That line where you know I just want to feel your pants line.
Yeah.
My buddy of mine used that when we went to the beach one year, and he told a girl to come touch his shirt. Next thing I know, he was in the sack with her.
All right. Thank you.
Bye.
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 Thank you.
You're handling this very well.
Hey, you're handling it well.
What can I do?
I know
she did it. What can I do?
That's true.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, you guys sound so much different on radio.
Oh, come on.
72. I was number 72 out of 100.
For what?
For, you know, the big game you got.
Well, who cares? Come on, what can we do? What can we do for you?
I love you, man. I thought you just, you know, hold on until it was number 100 for me. Anyway, my call's about...
100.
Yes, sir.
What?
Yes. Oh, come on. This is Don, or this is Mike, or this is...
I just figured it out. You've been drinking.
I am number 100.
You have been drinking, sir.
Sir?
You have false courage. I can tell by listening to you.
I love you, man. I love you all.
He's been drinking, Rob.
I've been drinking.
Yes, he
okay.
has.
You got me.
All right.
Hey, bummer dude, but you know what? I love him anyway.
Thank you.
Take care.
All right.
All right. There you go.
You found him out, Mike.
I love you, man.
Hello, Tim.
Hello.
Tim, turn down your radio, please.
Yeah. Let me go outside.
Yeah.
Is that where the radio is?
Yeah.
My sister was at this thing, man.
Your sister was at this thing?
At what thing?
At this bachelorette party.
Oh, no, she wasn't.
Yes. I can tell you who the girl was.
Well, I've already said her name on the radio.
Where she works.
Tell me where the party was held.
It was in Ocean City.
Where?
I'm not sure quite the bar, but I... Okay, the girl getting married works in the sporting goods, mainly Winter. Not giving away the name of the store.
Well, that's true.
Oh, God.
That's true. All right, tell me the name of the store.
Ski Chalet.
Okay.
All right.
That's where she works.
All right, he's earned a seat on the justice panel, on the witness stand.
All right, so your sister was at this bachelorette party?
Yes.
Uh-huh.
And you're going to hate to hear this.
That's right.
Oh, come on.
Your wife was very well behaved.
Okay.
And there was no stripper. And the girls worn out, gallivanting all over the place. And, you know, she was telling you the truth. But the jerk-off you got answering the phone earlier, the guy?
Yes.
He wouldn't even put me through on the phone. He was like, oh, I don't want to hear it. You know, there's no way that you can know this is going on. You know, but she was a good girl.
Who is the person that's in the group that we will ask who has the challenged brother?
Yeah, well, what is your sister's first name?
She'd get pissed off if she knew I called.
She's going to know you called already.
Yeah, but, you know, no one knows who I am.
No one knows who you are.
It's
pretty easy to figure out, though, don't you think?
Come on, Cletus. Someone out there recognizes your voice. Just give me your first name or your sister's first name.
I can't do that.
Hey, let me ask you a question. Do you know, did any of the girls go out to breakfast?
I think my sister did.
Is she a single woman?
Yes.
Okay. Did she go to Howard Johnson's room 307?
I don't know. I doubt that.
Oh, you doubt?
Yeah.
So you don't know everything about the evening?
Well, my sister's not a little tramp, you know what I mean?
But you're going on your sister's word.
Well, I've known my sister for years, you know what I mean?
Right, but she did go out to breakfast.
I think so, yeah. But, I mean, I asked her there was strippers before I even said I was going to call. She yelled when I said I was going to call. Now she's going to know I called.
She went out to breakfast with the boys. The boys that asked them if they wanted to go out to breakfast. These are the same boys, I think, that had the room at 307 at the Ojo's.
Yeah, but come on. I mean, they play golf. They can't be real men.
Yeah, you know what? They probably had your sister.
Yeah. You know what?
They probably shagged her rotten.
Probably so.
Yeah.
You know what? They probably said, I wonder what the par is on this hole.
You know, at least I'm not a jump on a bandwagon Tony Stewart fan, you know what I mean?
Tony Stewart fan.
Who is that?
Who's that?
Oh, you don't even know who Tony Stewart is now.
Oh, is that the NASCAR guy?
Yeah.
Listen, I'm not going to discuss NASCAR with you. We're discussing the fact that your sister was supposedly at this party with my wife.
Yeah, and after sex, she said you guys play on the same team?
Oh, yeah, you know, I get in with my sister all the time, you know.
Oh, you do?
This is the brother. For their own family, you know, who's it good for?
This is the guy now that's, like, digging the hole so deep for himself that he's not going to be able to get out. So you're saying you've had sex with your sister?
Sex with your sister?
Yeah, you wish I did.
No, we don't
actually
wish at all.
You wish you had sex with my sister, you know.
We've never seen your sister.
Have you had sex with your sister?
Oh, many times.
You seem to be concerned about your sister. And, you know, a brother, how old are you, sir?
I'm 28.
28? You seem to know an awful lot about your sister. How old is your sister?
I think she's 30.
She's 30, and you're still concerned about what she's doing socially. That sounds a little abnormal to me.
Well, he's had sex with her, Mike.
I guess so.
They're very close.
Very, very close.
Oh, most definitely, you know.
Yeah. All right, well, listen, it'll be easy enough to figure out who your sister is, because I'll just ask my wife who the biggest whore was at the party.
I think that was your old lady.
Oh, my God. The incestuous relationship has gone on for how long, sir?
Wouldn't you like to know?
Could you spell incestuous for me, please?
D-O-N.
Jeez. This guy, I know you're the one that called us,
You called us, buddy.
Oh, hell yeah. You know, actually, you guys called me in second grade to miss a school bus because we didn't believe it. They were on strike.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
When you guys are angry.
How many times did you have to go to second grade?
Just five.
Yeah, no surprise there.
Right.
You know.
So do you live with your sister?
Nah.
No, but you obviously talked to her about the bachelorette party.
Yeah.
Are you smoking a cigarette right now?
Oh, hell yeah.
Hell yeah.
He's getting a little nervous.
Hell yeah. So when's the last time you had sex with your sister?
Yeah, probably last night.
Okay. And do you, don't you think that's a little abnormal?
Yeah, she's a half-sister.
Half-sister.
So no surprise there.
So do you have vaginal sex or anal sex?
Anal all the way, man.
Anal sex.
Very good. Does she support you? Are you part of the proud 4% who choose not to work in this country?
No, I'm a hard-working white man.
A hard-working white man?
Really?
Why is the white part mentioned?
Come on, you think about it.
We're asking why.
We're asking you. You're the one that said it.
I'm just not one of your minorities.
You're not? Oh, so you're a bigot. So you're a bigot who does his sister.
And put it this way, I think that kid should have been sent back a long time ago.
What kid?
What kid?
Are you talking about Elion?
Oh, yeah.
The guy.
Why?
Waste the taxpayers' money.
This guy is floating out there, and that paddle was thrown away a long time ago. You just keep talking, sir.
Good for ratings, huh?
What's that? No, it's not necessarily good for ratings, but we're certainly amused at you.
Fascinated. Well,
I can tell you this much. You wouldn't survive in New York if you weren't following Opie and Anthony.
Now he's slamming us about Opie and Anthony in New York.
How do you know the first thing about New York?
I've heard of them before.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. So that was that an attempt to take a dig at us?
Probably.
As he takes another drag on his cigarette.
Probably.
Nah, but I think my sister's probably calling on the other line.
So we've established that you do your sister, you're a bigot, and you talk about things you don't know anything about.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I know.
And you made, I tell you, when we do find out who your sister is, we're going to tell her you made one hell of an impression on our show.
Right.
You guys have a good day.
Oh, where are you going? Are you going to run away now?
Well, I got a call coming in.
You afeared to stay on the line with us?
Hold on a second.
Have you had enough fun?
Hold on a second.
Oh, yeah. So you challenge them and they'll stay forever.
Right.
Because that's what stupid people do. He had an opportunity to leave, but he wants to come back for more.
You know the sad thing? I believe that this guy, his sister, probably was really at this bachelorette party.
Absolutely. He gave you the names.
Sounds like it.
That means Frida's going to have to answer tonight. How can you go out with such a low class of people? How can you go out with this type of white trash?
I'm a hard-working white man. You figure it out.
Yeah, you know, I'm not a minority. And then you ask him how to spell incestuous.
D-O-N.
Please ask wife.
He called us this Nimrod. Yeah, we have fun with Nimrods on this show. He doesn't seem to be coming back. He's been taking a long call. Probably the sister.
Yeah, sure.
Listen, you get off the line with them. They are making you look like a total fool. Listen, all of my friends are listening to this right now. I want to tell you something. You cretin, how dare you say that we have had anal sex? We've never had anal sex. It's only been vaginal. Now, you get off that line with those boys. They are making you the fool. They are making you the fool. Get. Now, shoe.
Go on, get.
Now, shoe.
Shoe fly.
Shoe fly, get.
Well, he's not coming back.
But he hasn't hung up yet either.
Good. We can wait him out. Absolutely.
Now, I want to tell you something. I had a wonderful time at that party, and it is none of your business that I went down on every one of those guys at room 307 at the Howard Johnson.
How dare you call them? What the hell did you call them for?
Now, I told you when I told you that I was the receptacle of all of their various fluids, that was to be our secret.
I'm sorry, sis. I'm sorry. I'm just a hard-working white man.
I told you, when I blew all of those guys in room 307 at the Howard Johnson's, I told you it was a secret.
Yeah.
There he goes.
Shocker.
There
coming
goes.
Back.
That had to be the sister call.
You get the hell off the line with them. You're making an ass out of yourself. When I blew 10 guys in 1 hour, I told you to keep quiet.
Good move, pal.
Hello, Brian.
Yeah, how's it going?
Brian.
Yeah, is this Don and Mike?
Yes.
Okay. Hey, Don, it sounds kind of hypocritical. I mean, you know, you went out to Leah Remini's house, and you kind of talk about wanting to, you know, kind of bang her and all that kind of thing.
Yeah, I want to bang her hard.
Well, I mean,
it's funny, all the time we were talking about Leah Remini, I don't believe I once heard you say you wanted to bang her while you were at her house. You did say you were going to J.O. her house.
Right, but that's private, though.
It's kind of the same thing, right. If you think.
What?
I mean, it's just a bachelor party.
Brian, what is the point of this call?
I don't know.
No, no, please, not two in a row like this. Really, why'd you call us?
Well, I mean, you're kind of making a big deal that your wife went to a bachelor party and, you know.
It was a bachelorette party.
Bachelorette, bachelor, yeah, okay.
Yes, my wife went to a bachelorette party and...
Well, you're kind of making a big deal about the fact that, she's not answering the questions that, you know, doesn't seem like it's really that big of a deal to me.
Doesn't seem like it's that big of a deal to me either. I don't think I've made it out to be a big deal. I'm having fun with it.
Oh, okay, cool.
Anything else?
No. Have a good day.
Another hard-working white guy.
Johnny A-hole calling.
Two in a row.
Two in a row. They always run in pairs. Actually, they run in threes. Let's see who's on the line now.
Don and Mike show.
Yeah, Don?
Yes. Here we go. You're right, Mike. Let's go.
Ding.
One, two, three in a row. Full house. Hello, Kevin.
I bet my son's college tuition that she got boned by everybody in that whole
thing. Okay, he's on our side. Here we go.
No.
I guarantee you she did. Wait. I got my son's college tuition.
It depends on
who are you talking about? Are you talking about my wife or are you talking about that guy's sister?
No, your wife.
Oh, it is three. It is three. I told you. Three in a row.
Fantastic. Well, you said my neighbor's boning my old lady, and I said, there's no way.
So I took the butcher knife and I put it up to her neck.
Hold on. I have identified this guy.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Is this the drunk boulder from Wichita?
You got him.
Oh, no.
You know what? You're absolutely right that they come in threes.
They do indeed.
It is like a shell no pest strip.
Strength in numbers. They feel that they can be supported, so that's why they call.
All right,
I just had to rag on you a little bit. But I don't think she did because I know my wife. I trust her. But you know your wife.
Okay, you're just taking care of your own business here,
right,
sir.
Okay, bye, Kevin.
Bye, guy.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye. That's Kevin. He's the guy from Wichita. His wife is having sex with a guy who he's best friends with.
Everybody seems to be having sex with everybody else.
Hello, but not us.
Not at all.
Did you have any sex this weekend?
No, I did not.
Nor did I.
No, I had a lot.
Oh, shut up. Hello, Chan.
Hey, Don.
Chan.
I wanted to thank you this weekend. I was laughing my ass off in the car this weekend. You weren't even on the radio, but it was all because of you. Your jive DJ voice that you do, making fun of all the DJs.
Yes.
And their top 40 voices.
Yes.
This guy, I was listening to the radio, it sounded exactly like your voice, and I almost wrecked off the road laughing my ass off.
All right, thank you, man. That's quite a compliment. Thank you so much.
That's entertainment through osmosis.
Thank you. Thanks for calling the Super Shoe. Right. Here's a Q-tip for you. Hello. Don and Mike show.
Was your wife playing Schlong Frisbee with that guy or what?
Schlong Frisbee. Schlong Frisbee.
Okay. Goodbye, Ed.
All right.
Goodbye. That was that, everyone.
Goodbye. Well said, Ed. Thank you. Mr. Ed, check it in. A quick break. We'll be right back.
This is the day have Herculean appetites for the diverse and the bizarre. Don and Mike.
Let's try to call Regis's daughter now.
Very good.
No guarantee that we're going to get to her, but here's the story. World exclusive. This is from the Globe. Who Wants to Be a Millionaire star? Regis Philbin's daughter lives in a rundown home and hardly ever sees her famous dad.
How are you?
I take it back. It's the Star, not the Globe.
Okay.
Special Star Investigation tracked down Amy Philbin Ferguson to a grungy apartment in Southern California. The sad-looking woman who has battled drinking drugs told the Star, I know it looks like, but really, I'm a millionaire. I know you wouldn't understand that, but I have far more money than it appears. Daddy loves me. He cares about me and my son, Mac. You know, little Mac Philbin.
Hi, Mac Philbin with you.
I know he does. It might not look that way because of the way I'm living, but he does care. He really does.
Okay, so she's not slamming her old man. She's actually being very positive.
She's saying that she's down and out alcoholic. She lives in a little shack.
Uh-huh.
As you can see, they have a picture of the shack right here.
Mm-hmm.
But she says she's a millionaire. Amy appeared shockingly thin, and her drawn face was marked by lines that made her look older than 41. When Star first tracked her down to a rundown home in Studio City, California, she appeared barefoot at the door wearing a food-stained flannel shirt and a soiled pair of green stretch pants.
Oh, dear.
Which were barely hanging on her bony hips.
Wow.
Her nose was running, and she wiped it with the back of her hand.
Eee.
They're painting
a real nice picture here.
It's a real nice reporter out here.
But the once pretty part-time club singer tried to put a brave face on her appearance. I don't always look this bad, she said. It's just, I'm sick. My temperature's 103.
So, obviously, she's got the place that doesn't look all that great. And the reporter comes out to her and catches her on a day where, let's give her the benefit of the doubt. Maybe she really did have a 103-degree... 103? Shouldn't he be in the hospital when that happened?
Inside, the living room was cluttered with old, mismatched furniture.
She let them in.
Only a string of tiny, colored Christmas lights scotch-taped the living room walls. Lit the room. Crooked and bent blinds were in the front window of the tiny two-bedroom home. Around the back, a smashed bedroom window was covered with plywood.
Oh, dear.
Amy smiled and said quietly, I know it's not the Ritz, but it's home. Amy and her brother...
Danny Philbin.
Danny. Amy and her brother Danny. Were the children of Regis's marriage to his first wife, Catherine, whom he divorced 20 years ago to start a new life with his second wife, Joy.
Oh, she's ancient history.
A birth defect left Danny with useless, malformed legs, which were amputated as a child. Hey, nice that they throw in the extra verbiage.
Mm-hmm.
His legs were useless and malformed.
Yeah, very nice of them to put that in there.
He, too, has been estranged from his famous father. Amy lives with her musician husband, Dan.
And their
Danny. And their son, Mac, Regis's only grandchild.
Hey, sit on Grandpa's lap.
Over the years, she suffered from alcoholism and drug abuse, according to friends who have referred to her as a binge drinker.
Okay, if you want to know, there it is. Over the years, suffered from alcoholism and drug abuse, according to friends. They're those friends again.
Then let me see. And then it says, you just don't want to believe I'm doing okay and my daddy's taking care of me. This is a quote from her.
How are you?
Well, it's true. Daddy had me on his show last year. He did, you know. Really, he did. And he sends me money. Amy said she'd last seen her father a year ago and refused to say how she felt about the super rich life he can afford thanks to Who Wants to Be a Millionaire.
How are ya?
She said, I don't want to talk badly about my daddy.
Well, if he's sending her money, of course not.
Sure. When the star returned to the broken-down apartment for a second time, Amy insisted she was feeling much better. I look better, don't I? She asked. But the truth was,
oh no,
she did not.
Oh, they are so cruel.
She said her singing career was up and running and soon to appear on stage. When asked where she would be appearing, she admitted it was at her son's elementary school. All the time, her husband, Dan, was attempting to push start the couple's ancient Mercedes, but without any luck. This time, Amy insisted that she and her father were scheduled for a summer reunion. We're all going to New York to be with the family. We're leaving pretty soon. It'll be the first time we've seen them for a long time. But when asked if she was telling the truth about the visit, she looked shamefaced turned away.
Oh, no. God, who is the reporter? Who is the evil reporter?
No, you know, they never put their names on this stuff.
That's right.
Amy defended her life and her father's choice to stay away with two words. He's busy. As a trail of tears streamed down her shockingly gaunt face.
God, this is horrible.
She said, my daddy is taking care of us. We're reaping the rewards of daddy's good fortune and the money he's making from his new show. I'm not doing so badly. Daddy is good to me. Amy theatrically threw back her head and gave a Betty Davis pose, her stringy, straggly, dishwater blonde hair falling limply over one eye.
Oh, my God.
I know it might not look this way to you, but Daddy takes care of us. I wouldn't have this place if it weren't for Daddy.
Oh, dear.
I wouldn't have a home to live in if it weren't for him.
Moments after
the star reporter left the apartment, Amy ran down the street barefoot, calling after him to stop that she had something else to say. I know you must think I'm very ugly at this time, but I'm not. I am not ugly, am I? I'm still pretty, aren't I?
Oh, dear.
Well, things will be better, won't they? Amy asked, and then she answered her own question. Yes. Yes, they will. They really will be better in the year 2000.
Well, this I'd love to get her impression of this story.
Here we go.
Because this is kind of a nasty little job.
From the star.
The star, but there is a picture. You know, pictures speak louder than words.
A gaunt-looking Amy insisted I know it may not look this way, but Daddy takes care of us.
Sure, her name's not Rusty.
Rusty Ford. All right, now we have three different numbers for Amy Philbin Ferguson.
Okay. So bear with me. See if we can get through and, you know, I'd like to get people's reactions to these stories.
Yes. We find out surprising things.
Sometimes they will come on and they'll say, yeah, I thought it was accurate.
You know what, I don't doubt that Regis has paid her off.
Well, I don't doubt that he supports her. He probably does. If it's his only grandchild, of course he's throwing money there. But if she's all messed up, you know. And
Joy, look at her. Jesus, send a check. For the love of God, come on now.
I'm making all this money.
Send her the royalty checks from Harvest Crisps.
Okay, no answer there.
Let's try the second listing. We're going to try another number. I tried to get through.
And you know what Joy must say?
Regis.
Your other family. They're so dirty.
Keep them away.
They're so dirty. And your son Danny with his useless malformed legs.
Maybe we could actually have Joy go out and do her Haven show from the...
from the shack that Amy lives in.
I'm Joy Philbin, and today I'm here in this shack.
Welcome to Haven.
With the smell of urine and feces.
Here's a lovely hot plate.
Wonderful.
As you can see, my husband has sent the CD-ROM version of Who Wants to Be a Millionaire. That would be nice if Amy had a computer, which she doesn't.
But we're not made of money.
All right, no answer. We'll try one more.
It was 20 years ago that he divorced her and married me. That's amazing. So, friends close to the woman say...
Always it's friends.
She's a bitch stranger. In the image, though, of her running down the street.
Barefoot.
I'm pretty. You don't get more pathetic than that.
You know, she probably calls her dad up.
Hold on. We can recreate that in a minute. Hold on. I'll be her. I think we're finally going
to
get on the
machine. Hi, this is Dan. I'm unavailable to take your call right now, but if you leave me your name and your number, I will call you back as soon as I can. Thanks.
I sure would be a winner. That's the husband's name, Dan.
Yeah.
Danny.
Danny.
Danny, hi. This is the Don and Mike radio show. We're doing a national radio show right now. We're ready to believe you.
We'd like to talk to you and to your wife about the article that was in the, what publication was
it in?
The Star.
The Star. We want to get your thoughts on that.
I'd like to talk to you, Dan, or to Regis's daughter, Amy Philbin Ferguson.
So give us a call, won't you, please?
Thank you. Thank you. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
And please tell Amy she looks very pretty.
Absolutely.
Very pretty and very put upon.
Pretty girl.
Bye-bye.
Bye. There we are.
Robbie, where's the phone ring sound effect? Need that to recreate what the call from Regis's daughter to Regis might have gone like.
Because, you know, when she talked about the family reunion, when pressed on it, she looked kind of crestfallen. Like,
hello?
Hello?
Dodd? Oh, God, is this Amy?
Hey, Dottie.
Amy, I told you not to call me at the studio. I'm very busy, you know that. For the love of God, why do you call me at the studio?
Hey, Dottie.
Yes, Amy.
They called me from that magazine, Dottie.
I told you, for the love of God, whatever you do, don't let them bring out a photographer.
Dottie, they already took my picture, Dottie.
They took your picture?
They took my picture, Dottie.
Oh, no, I told you no pictures. I told you you could talk to them on the phone, but don't have them come out with a reporter.
Dottie, last time you sent me money, you sent me $20, Dottie.
Is it fine? Are you doing well on that? I'm very, I'm concerned about you, and that's why I sent you a $20 bill. Fine.
I need, I need more, Mom.
Oh, you need more?
I need more than $20, Dodd.
Are you a little short of cash, Amy?
Dodd, yes.
All right, listen. All right, I didn't want you to call me at the studio because I'm very busy, but let me tell you what I'll do. I'll send you a $5 bill, and I'll send it overnight mail. Will that tide you over?
But, Dad, it will cost you more than $5 to send it overnight to me.
All right, $5.50. I'll send you $5.50. That should do it. That'll help you buy groceries and maybe a little gift for my grandson. I'll send you $5.50. Are you still living in the shack?
Am I pretty, Dad?
You're a pretty girl. Of course you are. You're very pretty, Amy. I've always told you that. You're beautiful.
Don.
Yes, Amy?
Listen, Don, my husband.
Oh, how's he doing? and little Mark.
Mac,
yeah. my son, your grandson.
Yes, Amy Philbin.
We're coming to New York.
Oh, that's not possible.
Oh, yes.
We're going to
be on the Regis and Kathy Lee show.
No, I don't think I can handle that. I don't really know. I don't want you to come out here.
I knew the answer to the question today, Don.
Oh, that's great. I'm glad you're watching Millionaire.
It was Titanic. I knew it.
Amy, I'm very busy. Listen, I'm going to send you a $5 bill. I'm sorry, $5.50. Let's make it $10. I'm feeling generous. I'll send you $10. That'll last you till the end of the month.
God, I just took my temperature. Man, my temperature's 103.
103, you sure?
Hey, Dad, what's the difference between an anal and an oral thermometer?
I don't know, Amy. What is it? Okay, listen, you can't come out this summer. I don't want you anywhere near Joy and our wonderful homes in Manhattan and, of course, Connecticut.
I hate Joy.
Now, don't start with that. I'll cut you off. I won't be sending you that $20 a month.
I saw her on the show today.
Oh, yes, of course. Well, I'm glad you're watching. Listen,
with her little bony arms.
All right, Amy.
And her little bony boobs.
Amy, you're getting bitter.
And all of her diamonds and jewelry.
Don't get bitter.
And, Dad, I'm down here. Surrounded by cot poop, and I tell my friends, my dad is Regis Philbin, and they say there's no way because you live in a shack.
I told you, as I've said a million times, Amy, you got to make it on your own. When I was working for Joey Bishop, I made it on my own. You got to pull yourself up by your bootstraps. Now, I can't send you anything. Do you understand me? I can send you $20 a month, I'll send you an extra $5.50, and I'll send you the home game of Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, but I can't send you a nickel more. Do you understand? And you're not invited to come out and visit us. Because you smell bad.
Donnie,
I want you to stay away.
Donnie, I want you to wash me.
I'm not going to wash you. Those are the old days. Daddy doesn't love you anymore. Daddy does not love you anymore as much as he used to. Now go back to your shack and wait for my check.
Donnie.
Yes, Amy.
I like 21.
You like 21 with Maury Povich?
That's a great show, Don.
Now you're trying to hurt your daddy. Don't hurt your daddy. Pretty girl.
You know what we watched the other night, Mon?
What'd you watch?
Greed.
Ah, Greed, yeah, okay.
Chuck Woolery.
That show's going to be canceled. Probably already has been canceled. I'm number one. I'm king of the hill. I'm top of the mountain. I'm so hot, I'm on fire.
That show kicks ass.
All right, I'm happy for you, Amy.
Don and I got so drunk when we were watching that show.
Now, you're trying to hurt your father. Stop that.
No,
stop that. I don't want to hear about your drinking. I don't want to hear about your horrible binge drinking in your food-stained flannel shirt.
Joy is not my mom.
No, she's not, but we've discussed this already. Come on now, she loves you very much. Just
how come
like I
you
do.
Sent your other daughters to Notre Dame?
All right, now come on, that's enough of that. I don't want to hear any more of that. Do you understand me, Amy? Get a grip on yourself.
Hold on, Don. Don says that we need $5,000.
Oh, you tell Dan he's probably still high from his last binge. There's no way.
Dan, are you high?
There's not a snowball's chance
Dan,
in hell.
Are you high, Don?
Shut up, bitch.
Oh, did he call you a bitch?
That's his pet name for me, Daddy.
You tell him to knock it off, and there's not a chance that he's getting $5,000 from me. I'm not going to give him a penny. I'm not going to give him a nickel. All that money is for you and my grandson. Now, I told you, take the $5.50, buy some groceries, and save the leftovers for a little gift for my grandson, Matt.
Don! All we eat are sweet tarts, Mom. That's all we can buy with the money you send me.
That's not true. You don't need to buy sweet tarts. You know you can buy a full box of Harvest Crisps and have plenty left over to buy the boy a little plastic squirt gun.
God, the Harvest Crisps are like $3.28 a box,
Amy,
Mom.
Amy, I'm very busy. You understand that? I've got the show. I've got to go tape Millionaire. I've got to get up early in the morning, and I've got to do my live with Regis and Kathy Lee. We got a talent search. We're looking for the next co-host on Regis and Kathy Lee.
God,
and
what about me?
No, jeez. Don't stop with that, Amy. You know there's not a chance. If you were ever that, you gotta put some meat on your bones and you gotta clean yourself up. Now leave me alone. I'm a very busy man.
All right, Don says we need $2,000.
Tell Dan he'll get $2,000 when he gets up off his ass and gets himself a job.
He says you'll get $2,000 when you get up off your ass and get a job.
Give me my money, bitch!
Tell him not to call you that. That makes me angry. And you take that $5.50 extra. You spend it just on yourself.
Oh,
okay, sweet cakes?
Oh, Don.
Just remember, your daddy's little girl. Your daddy's little girl. You understand me?
Don is having sex with me right now.
I gotta go. I can't deal with that.
In the no-no spot,
I'm hanging up.
Dad.
I am hanging up. I'm getting her. Get her off the line.
Dad.
Forget about that.
Daddy.
You disgust me, Amy. You totally disgust me. Dad having sex with you. You're on the phone with your father.
You're not my father,
Mom. You are. You are my daughter. You'll always be my daughter. And you're getting an extra $5.50. Fine. Well, then, fine. Best to you and your family.
That's what you say on your show when you have, like, a gay person on and you don't know how to react to them. You just say, fine.
Stop analyzing my work, Amy. Now, you're getting your money.
We watch your show all the time.
Very happy for that.
Don throws things at the TV because he says, hey, look, there's the rich bastard on TV.
Well, you tell Dan he's a loser, and that's why he has to throw things when he's not out working.
Hey, Dan, my dad says you're a big winner.
I'll kill that rich bastard, you bitch!
He says you're a winner.
You tell him to stop talking like that. It's that potty mouth that means he's sitting on the couch and not out earning a living.
I told him you said he's a winner, Dad.
All right, that's good. Good for you. Okay. I gotta run. I'm a busy guy.
All right.
I got lots of things to do, okay?
Oh, Dad, last thing.
Yeah, what's that, Amy?
We got those Kathy Lee CDs you sent us.
Oh, that's great. Did you enjoy them? Did little Mac enjoy them?
They suck.
Oh, okay. I know you're hurting me because you love me. I understand that. Hey, you got there live with Regis and Kathy Lee coffee mugs, right?
Yes.
All right. Now, you enjoy yourself. Now, remember, next year, there's a chance around Christmas time that I'm going to line up a Carnival cruise for you. Okay? Just for you
all
and my
right.
grandson. Not that husband of yours. I love you, Amy. You'll
all
always
right.
be my daughter.
All right, Donnie.
Okay, we can't get together this summer, but we'll see you in a year or so.
You send me $5.50.
$5.50 and then your regular 20 at the beginning of next month.
All right, thank you, Don.
God bless you, Amy.
Goodbye, Don.
Your father loves you.
Is that your final answer, Don?
Very good. That's cute, Amy. Keep watching the show. Fine. You take care.
Goodbye.
Bye, dear. Click. Thank you very much.
There you go.
That's just how it might have gone.
Mm-hmm. Sit down, Danny.
Oh,
well, we did put in a call, and who knows, maybe the real, you know, Dan will call us back. Mm.
Well, then fine.
And we'll get her on the show. A quick timeout. We'll be right back.
Working to break the cycle of babies having babies.
Uh-huh.
The Don and Mike Show.
That's why we're here.
Absolutely.
Off to New York. We'll be there Wednesday and Thursday.
Yeah.
And tomorrow we'll be talking about some stuff that we'll be doing from the studios of WNEW and getting anybody in the New York area that listens to us to come down and play some of our crazy cookie reindeer games. That'll be Wednesday and Thursday this week from New York.
The Big Apple.
Mm-hmm. Regis Philbin's son.
Mm-hmm.
The one that was mentioned in the article?
Yes.
The one of the legs?
Right.
He's on the phone right now.
Okay, very good.
Hello, Danny.
Danny, go ahead.
Danny Philbin.
Danny, are you there?
Hello?
I guess he hung up.
Well, let me go back and try it again.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Danny doesn't seem to be hearing us.
He's gone.
Oh, well, if you're out there, call us back, Danny.
Is Danny's middle name Gavin?
Hello?
There he is.
There he is.
Hello.
Hello.
Oh, that's what it was. We were saying Danny.
Yeah,
he didn't get it.
He didn't get it. Here is...
Hi, Danny.
Here is Regis.
No, hello, it's the robot.
This is Regis Philbin's son, Danny.
Danny, can you...
Hello, how are you doing? This is Regis Philbin. How are you doing?
A birth defect left Danny with useless malformed legs, which are amputated.
How you all doing out there? This is Regis Philbin from the show. How are you doing, Dr. Mike?
Danny, can you roar like a lion? You're a monster.
Of course, everybody. Listen, it's time to let the cat out of the bag. This is really... Tom Gavin the Monster. Tom the Monster.
Hi, guys.
Hi, Tom. This is not, in fact, Regis Philbin's son. This is Tom Gavin.
I really thought it was Regis's son.
Tom the Monster.
How you guys doing?
Well, the important thing is how are you doing, Tom?
Good. I'm doing fine.
Good. Hey, Tom, how would you like to take a sex quiz?
Good. Go ahead. Do it.
All right. Tomorrow we're going to be giving the sex quiz. Did you know that we have now three girls working on the show? We have, of course, Toya.
Yes.
We also have Beth.
Yes. Beth. Right. Yeah, the redhead.
The fiery redhead.
Right.
And Lisa.
Lisa.
And tomorrow both Beth and Lisa will be taking sex quizzes on the show.
Very good.
I'll come in and...
No.
That's okay.
No, you're not coming in, Tom.
I'll do it on the phone.
All right, here is the Tom Gavin sex quiz. Tom, have you ever had sex while menstruating?
No.
Tom, have you ever had a gay experience?
No.
Have you ever made love in your parents' home?
No.
Have you ever enjoyed hot interracial sex?
No.
Have you ever J-O'd in front of others?
At the Don and Mike Las Vegas style show.
No, you didn't.
No,
you didn't.
No, you didn't, Tom.
You never have done that.
No.
Right. No.
Okay, God.
Do you know what I mean when I said J-O?
What's that?
Do you know what it means when I said, have you J-O'd in front of others?
Do you know what the term J-O means?
What does that mean, Mike? What does that mean?
You don't know what it means, Tom?
No.
The initials J-O?
Oh, job.
No.
No?
Yeah.
Hold it on. Means, hold I'll on. Tell him. No, I'll tell him. It means, can we say, you know, with J-O, we can...
yeah,
it means to masturbate, Tom.
Yeah, masturbating to other people, no.
Okay. Have you ever had sex with more than one partner?
No.
Have you ever had sex in a public place?
No.
Have you ever been filmed or photographed while having sex?
No.
Have you ever had sex in the no-no spot?
No.
And what is your total number of sexual partners?
None.
You've never had sex?
Nope.
This would be, I believe, the first perfect score we've received.
Yes. Bravo, Tom.
Am I not wrong? Didn't he? All knows?
All knows. Nine of them.
You're a saint, Tom.
Yep.
And a zero.
Hi, Tommy.
All
How you doing?
And a zero.
Yeah. Have you ever J-O'd at all, Tom?
No.
You've never J-O'd?
No.
You must have.
No, I haven't.
Can you?
What's that? I mean...
Can you J-O?
No.
Why?
Because...
Oh, dear.
Why?
Oh, I'm scared.
Why can't you J-O?
I'm scared.
Blank, it's too fat. I can't get to it.
What's too fat?
Tom, I had to delete that out. Mm-hmm. Tom, you can't use that word.
Oh.
You have to use the medical term for it.
Your thing.
Your thing.
Mm-hmm. All right, now, using the new term... Say it again so everybody can hear it. Why can't you masturbate?
Because it's too big and too small.
It's too big and too small.
Blank.
Did you say boink?
Blank.
Blank?
Yeah.
I'm confused.
He was playing the match game.
So you're unable to physically?
Yeah.
How can it be too big and too small, Tom?
Because I can't reach it.
Oh, you can't reach it.
I see.
Because your stomach's too big.
Yeah, like everybody else's.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't get that, Tom.
But you can't reach it, so you don't do it.
Yeah.
Have you ever had an orgasm?
Yes, I have.
How did you manage that?
Someone did it for me.
Okay.
So somebody J-O'd you.
Yeah.
Who was that?
One of my old girlfriends.
One of your old girlfriends. Good. So you have had a sexual experience.
Yeah.
What a mess that must have been.
Yeah, it was a mess.
I can only imagine, Tom. A mess of gargantuan proportions.
This has been fascinating talking about your activities, Tom.
Tom, have you ever had intercourse?
No.
No, the answer to that was no?
No.
Would you like to have intercourse someday?
Yeah.
How old are you, Tom?
40.
So you'd like to?
Yes.
Would you like us to maybe send you out to the Mustang Ranch? Of course, the Mustang Ranch isn't in existence anymore.
Out of business.
Oh, the Mustang Ranch out of business?
Yeah.
Yes. How do you spell Mustang?
M-A-S-T-I-N-G.
Perfect.
This Mustang.
This woman who did this for you?
What?
This woman who did this thing for you? How long ago did that event happen?
Last year down in Springfield.
Last year in Springfield. Well, that was very nice of her. Would she ever do it again for you?
No, she's gone and got married.
She got married. Mm-hmm. She must be a lovely lady.
How did you get her to do that for you?
I met her down at Springfield Mall, and she took me back to her house.
And did that for you?
Yep.
Did you ask for that, or did she just do that on her own?
She just did it on her own.
Really?
Did you enjoy it?
Yes.
Did you want her to do it again?
No.
Fine.
He doesn't understand.
Why?
Of course he wanted her to do it again.
Because
she's married.
Well, she's married now, yes, but I mean right after she did it, Tom.
Didn't you want her to do it again?
Yeah.
And did she ever do it again, or was it just that one time?
Just that one time.
Did you have to pay her?
What?
Did you have to pay her?
Nope.
And was that the first time ever?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Did she wear gloves?
No.
Did she wear, like, baseball gloves?
No.
Raincoat? What, did she have her clothes on?
No.
Really? What did she have on?
Nothing.
Wow.
Really?
Were you naked?
Yeah.
Oh.
Mm. Fascinating. Were you in your chair?
No. I was in the bed.
You were in the bed?
Yep.
Oh, that's great.
Who's the celebrity that this lucky lady most resembles, Tom?
Mary Tyler Moore.
Wow.
Very lucky man.
Hey, way to go. That's a good quick answer. And hey, kudos to Tom Gavin for that quick answer. I would that most of our contestants would come up with a celebrity resemble that.
Would that
much.
Be Mary Tyler Moore as she looks today?
Yes.
Okay. Very good.
Beautiful. Thank you.
We have our answer.
Tom, thank you.
We're walking on air.
Hold on, Don. I heard you needed some...
Claritin.
Claritin. It's for allergies and Tom.
Allergies.
Doing much better.
Did you get it?
Oh, I got it. It works fantastic. I love Claritin.
You know, I got the stuff here if you want some.
No, that's okay, Tom. You keep it for yourself.
How's everybody doing? When is the next Las Vegas style show?
On May 3rd.
At your house.
Wait a minute.
May 3rd.
Watch it.
May 3rd.
Watch it.
But before we let you go, you have to roar like a big bad monster.
All right, thank you, Danny Philbin.
Bye, Danny.
Oh, there he goes. That's it, he's gone.
Okay. Like the wind.
Buzz?
Yes.
Buzz, we're going to come back to you with some more news and some more comments.
All right.
What's next?
Up next, rightly or wrongly, another famous actor gets outed.
Ooh.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Oh, really? Oh, well, excellent. Everybody, stay tuned, please.
Stay tuned.
For news and comments.
Coming up
on the Don and Mike Show.
Don and Mike Show. That was very...
very professional.
This... certified blouse clown inspectors.
Hi,
Don and Mike.
All right, Buzz. Another dead acting legend is being outed as bisexual.
Homos in the news.
This time it comes in a book that's actually supposed to be about Liz Taylor. The book says that Taylor's ex-husband, Richard Burton, went both ways.
Really?
Really? The author says Burton had an affair with...
I can't go bowling with you, Ralphie boy. I'm bisexual.
The author says Burton had an affair with Laurence Olivier and
show
and put the moves on another one of Liz's ex-husbands, Eddie Fisher.
Eddie, this is Richard Burton. I would like to sleep with you if that's possible.
F-U-F-ball.
Thank you very much. I'll move on to Larry Olivier. Larry, this is Richard Burton.
Hello.
Sleep with me. Sleep with me now.
Hello.
The New York Post says Taylor is furious about the allegation. The family now denies it.
Oh, she's upset. Just listen to this.
Oh, man.
She sounds upset.
Christ, she's upset, Buzz.
Richard Burton's brother says if Rich was gay, then I'm a nun. If that addresses the issue. Another recent book suggested that the late Burt Lancaster was also a switch hitter, if you'll recall.
Ah, the Lemons.
Yes.
I remember watching you wash your bare chest with the Lemons.
Oh, is Liz upset?
Oh, dear. Oh. This is a quote.
Oh, Liz.
Oh, dear.
Well, listen to this.
So far, we haven't hit anything yet.
She's writing something out.
Okay, let me get down close to see what she's writing.
Hold on. Yes.
Okay. Is it?
Oh, dear.
Oh,
Richard.
Run! Run!
Richard. Is. Oh, okay, cross the T. Not.
That's a not.
Gay. I can't.
That's not gay. It's just a pile.
No. Look at it. Richard is not. Okay. Cross the Y.
Oh, yeah.
Richard is not gay.
Okay, yeah. There's just no hole where the G hook should be.
But you know, Liz, you forgot to dot the I on Richard, though. And you also forgot to dot the I on is. It says Richard is. One more.
Here she comes.
Okay. Thank you. And how about an exclamation point?
Yeah. Oh, you're asking too much of her.
No.
Here she goes.
It wasn't.
All right, now the dot underneath. Come on, you got to put the dot underneath the big... Thank you.
Go for it, Ms. Taylor.
Big dot.
Thank you, Liz Taylor.
All right.
That New Jersey dentist accused of bruising kids and breaking their bones as he held them in the dentist chair has had his license suspended.
Oh, well, there's a nice move.
Dr. Kevin Ward has been ordered to stay away from all patients until the hearings are over. That
so
order...
they didn't take our advice of doing the marathon man thing.
Not yet.
You
but...
strap that dentist in the chair, you drill his front teeth, and you offer him Novocaine, but do you use it just as a tease?
Maybe that'll happen at the hearings. The order and the hearings come from the New Jersey State Dentistry Board.
Hello, doctor. This is Richard Burton. This is pleasure. This is pain.
That was Larry Olivier. That was Sir That's Lawrence right. Olivier. Yeah.
Hello. Say, Richard.
Yes, Lawrence.
I just read where your ex-wife wrote with her feces that you were not gay.
She's absolutely accurate. Way to go, Liz. Save the painting for me.
Dentist Ward says he did restrain unruly children, but he says he followed the guidelines set by the American Academy of Pediatric Dentistry. Parents say he broke the leg of a 5-year-old boy, the thumb of a 10-year-old girl, and the wrist of a 4-year-old girl.
Breaking a kid's leg.
Wow.
Get, put him in the chair. Put him in the chair.
With computers and the internet, why does it still take 3 days for a check to clear? Federal Reserve Chairman Alan Greenspan would also like to hear why. In the meantime, he says the country's central bank is trying to modernize the process. One system being tested would capture and store images of checks. Banks could look at those on the internet and then make their payment decisions right away without having to wait for the paper to arrive.
I'm so out of the loop. I thought that's what they did already.
No,
I thought
yeah,
that if you went somewhere and you wrote a check, that they instantly could just pull up your account.
Maybe some places do, but it's not the practice. Most banks still have to wait 3 days, or you do as a bank customer, for that check to clear in your account.
Nothing pisses me off more. I was in the grocery store over the weekend. Mm-hmm. Then a person was in line, and when I opened up the wallet, lady opened up her wallet. Mm-hmm. She had every goddamn credit card in the world, mm-hmm. and I saw two different ATM cards.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they give you the option. You can do the credit card, you can pay cash, or you can just swipe and have the money taken out of your checking account.
Yeah, automatic debit.
ATM card.
Right.
She says no, she's going to write a check.
Yeah, some people are still slave to that old system.
And while she's got her purse sitting out, which shows every credit card and all of this, now she's got to find her checkbook. In the meantime, she's got to write out the amount. How much was that?
It's $86.42.
E-I-G-H-T-Y. And then the woman says, now I need ID. And now the woman goes barreling through her purse for all this. And the whole thing, you know, I feel like just screaming at her and saying, listen, just take the card, just swipe it. It'll come out of the same account, most likely.
Some people, because of their record keeping, because they're worried that there'll be extra charges and extra dollars in there, or extra cents in most cases.
Yeah, I know.
They're still a slave to that. You know, me... I just rough estimates all over. That's why I do all electronic, you know?
It works.
And then if you get a little behind, c'est la vie.
And that's why I get ripped off. I'm positive when I go to the store.
Anyway.
I never look to see what the prices are when they scan.
Yeah, bottle of mouthwash, toothpaste, a People magazine, and a hairbrush. That'll be $573.72.
I always go, okay.
And pay it.
And then they always say, do you have a Safeway card? Mm-hmm. And you know what, sometimes, even though I have one, you know what I say? No.
I do the same thing.
Just because I don't want the hassle.
Right.
But then sometimes if I get a guy like AJ, who's really a good guy in my Safeway, and he knows me, he says, no, come on, you have it.
Yeah.
And I say, don't worry about it, AJ. And he says, just give me your phone number. Because I can just access the card with your phone number. And I'll say, like, how much am I going to save? 58 cents.
That's good lying. That's good.
Mm-hmm. I'll say, you know what? It's worth 58 cents.
Mm-hmm.
Not to do it.
Just to move
on. No, it's the same thing when you go into a store. Are you a member of our frequent shopper club?
Mm.
No, I'm a member of the Get My Ass Out of This Store, Put the Product in the Bag, and Get Me to My Car Club.
Amen. You know who's the worst? B. Dalton.
Absolutely.
Yeah, if you ever know it, they invented it.
Yep.
You go to B. Dalton, they want to tell you, if you do it right now, you'll save $10 right now, and you just want to go, F you, I want my book.
Mm-hmm. The bookstores are the worst places. They're the ones that invented it. You know, do you have our discount card, our 10%? No, I've been in here a bunch of times. Why don't you just, like, you know, photocopy my face or something and give me the discount anyway so I don't have to reach in and get the cheesy card out.
Since when did it become so bad to just want to pay retail?
I know, it's ridiculous.
Really, it does not... It does not bother me. Just get me in and get me out.
These retailers, and they all do it now, clothing stores, mm-hmm. shoe stores, everybody does it. They don't recognize the value of people's time. They think that because you want to get their points, to collect points, to go back in and shop, people don't shop like that.
You know, that's like when my mom saved those goddamn S&H green stamps.
Same thing. It's just a different variation.
Right.
It was a slower time then. We didn't mind waiting in line back
yes,
then.
Yes, we did.
We did. Now
even back
we
then.
Do.
Now. We minded that timeout.
We hate waiting
in line. Oh, I'm so angry now. Your news gets me so angry.
Sorry.
I'm so angry. I hope my wife is in the mood to listen tonight when she gets home.
Oh,
you know what happens when she doesn't listen.
Oh. Be careful.
We'll be here right now.
This is the Don and Mike Show. Sports Alert.
With the big C in the last couple of years.
Right.
Daryl Strawberry was diagnosed with colon cancer late in the 98 season. Yanks manager Joe Torre missed the season with prostate cancer. Also early in 99, Yankees legend Joe DiMaggio died from lung cancer. Stottlemyre even lost a son to cancer nearly 20 years ago. People are concerned about perhaps some kind of curse at Yankee Stadium.
Everybody's concerned about the big C, Buzz.
Everybody.
Absolutely.
As they should be.
Sure.
The Jenny Craig Company is relaunching its main weight loss program.
Yeah, she's out of there.
Apparently without Monica Lewinsky.
Oh, really?
The new campaign will use testimonials from other less famous clients. USA Today says Lewinsky's still under contract with Jenny Craig, but there are no plans at the moment for her to appear again in the company's ads.
Wasn't she supposed to get a $1 million bonus if she lost the weight?
If she went all the way? That's right, 100 pounds, I think, was the rumor, anyway.
Mm-hmm. What did she have any comments about, not being named?
She's angry.
Here she is.
She's writing. Is she writing something out also, Don?
Yeah, she just wrote F.
You. Oh, I think we know where this is going.
F you. What's next? She's squatting. See?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Lewinsky.
Now, I don't know if I can tell you what the next... Let me see.
Oh, I know what that word is.
Well, it looks like L. Mm. Oh, no. She's not done. Hold on. She's doing more to it.
Okay. F you.
Oh, that's a curly Q. Oh, no. She wrote the F word.
Wow.
Oh, it says F. Yeah.
Oh, that's
F.
It. I'm sorry. Yeah. Angry.
I got
confused by the hair.
She's going to write in cursive. Wait a minute.
Right.
J. She's
really, really having a tough time with her penmanship.
J. Come on.
Yep.
J. E. Mm-hmm. I thought you were going to write in cursive.
Oh, I see what it is.
J. E. N. N. Y.
And another exclamation point at the end there.
She wrote F-U-C,
F. Jenny.
F. Jenny.
That's
what she just wrote.
Oh, and had a pinch to grow an inch. Lewinsky, who reportedly lost 31 pounds on the program, says the new campaign might be a lot easier without her.
She is just, she can't stop writing.
A 58-year-old man in Albuquerque doesn't mind you knowing that he spent some time at a strip club and that he got plenty drunk while he was there. Because this man, Lorraine Armstrong,
oh, really?
Says the club put nearly $27,000 worth of bogus charges on his diner's club card.
What?
$27,000.
Oh, really?
Yes, really. That $27,000 could have bought 2,600 table dances, or more than 5,300 drinks, or some combination of the two.
ABBA gives me an erection.
Lorraine admits he made 4 trips to the topless bar during a 10-day stretch last July.
Oh, really?
Yes.
He's got a girl's name, though.
Yes, he does.
Mm-hmm.
And so he'll be angry, too.
Lorraine.
He says the club took advantage of his intoxication, and he's got the state attorney general looking into this.
What?
But the bar says Armstrong was on the phone with Diners Club, telling them that he was spending the money because his wife was divorcing him. Club workers say Armstrong repeatedly bought rounds of drinks for the whole bar and included generous tips for the wait staff, the dancers, and the doorman.
Oh, really? Thank you, Buzz.
Got
to take a break.
What a pickle that is.
Coach, having touched tones, time for caller 100.
Wow.
Prize package selected especially for you. Call Toya right now. She's standing by. Phone number 1-877-365-3636.
Hi, Lorraine.
Be the 100th caller.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
The Don and Mike Show on Hot Talk 1330 KFH.
Lorraine.
The Don and Mike Show.
All right, Buzz, let's go.
In sports, Green Bay Packers tight end Mark Chimura and a friend have been arrested for bad touch with two girls ages 17 and 18.
All for statutory rape.
Police are recommending charges of third-degree sexual assault. The 17-year-old was Chimura's babysitter.
Hey, where's that Lombardi thing? I know we got to get out of here. But a long time ago, Vince Lombardi lectured the Green Bay Packers.
On the subject of sexual assault? Really? I didn't know that.
Come to the L's, Robbie.
For Lombardi! Whoa!
All right, this is a tape about 30 years old. Mm-hmm. Vince Lombardi talks to the Packers about statutory rape.
I think we can accomplish most anything if we're willing to pay the price. Mm-hmm. And the price of success is hard work. Hard work, dedication to the job at hand, and a determination that whether we win or lose, that we've applied the best of ourselves to the task at hand.
Hard work.
He's a great man.
Yeah. And then he sent the Packers off to a junior high.
There you go. Cincinnati outfielder Ken Griffey Jr. is the youngest player to hit 400 Major League home runs. Griffey reached the milestone at 30 years, 141 days today.
And he did it in a Reds uniform.
When he reconnected during a game against Colorado at Coors Field. NASCAR's weekly official statistics put Bobby Labonte atop the Winston Cup standings.
Bobby Labonte.
With 1,246 points. And finally, the latest from Germany.
Hi.
Officials in Berlin have ordered the men who live in a string of apartment buildings to start sitting down to urinate.
Ah, yes. This we will call the Andy Rice rule.
But the tenants are not going to take this sitting down. Quoting one, I'm not going to let anybody tell me how I take care of business. I'm going to carry on standing.
It is something we have learned from America, where there is a very great conservative mind named Andy Rice. He always sits. Always!
Very good idea. Please. Please sit down.
Reuters reports that the landlords were complaining that the misdirected urine was rusting out the radiators.
Oh, man.
Really? Imagine that.
Boy, it does do that.
I'm Buzz Burbank on the Don and Mike Show.
Actually, we're done. Done.
Another moment too soon.
We gotta catch the next show.
Goodbye, Turkey. My attorney will be in touch. Sorry, we're
out of time. No.
All I have to say to you is on our last show.
Yes, yes, I agree. Yes.
On our last show.
It'll be the great confession.
All secrets are out of the bag.
Absolutely.
Gotta go see you tomorrow with a new one. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
I am caller 100.
Right, yes.
Right.
That's right.
Hi. Oh, look at that radiator. It's all corroded.
How did that happen, Clink?
It's urine, General Bullcutter.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Andy Rice Singers.
There they are. All of them sitting, urinating.
Good knock.
Good knock. What is your name, my friend?
John.
John, where are you from?
Springfield.
John, what is up with your energy, man?
I'm so excited, I can't believe it.
Are you a nervous wreck?
Yeah.
Are you a child?
I am 19.
19.
19.
You're just so nervous you can't show any enthusiasm?
I won.
Oh, John, you suck. You won a KFC chicken sandwich. Or Kentucky Fried Chicken. Try KFC's Triple Crunch Sandwich. KFC.
Enjoy it, John.
Well, I will.
Thank okay. You. Thank you. I'm not putting your name in the drawing for the DVD player.
No, please do.
That's... No, and I'm not. I'm also not qualifying you for the rent of the mortgage.
Sorry, John, and that can be a lesson to all other listeners on the Don and Mike Show. Please show proper enthusiasm.
But enjoy your chicken sandwich.
Hold on. Oh, no, I want the DVD.
What?
I want the DVD.
No, too bad. No.
Sorry, John.
Don and Mike, I love you.
No, I love you. Thank you. We appreciate that, sir. But really, you suck.
No, really. I'm at work this one.
Where are you working?
I'm at Fairfax Hospital.
You're at a hospital?
No, you're not.
I promise.
What do you do there?
I'm an appointment clerk.
An appointment clerk?
Yes, sir.
Really? Let me talk to a doctor.
A doctor?
Yeah.
A doctor. Well, I'm in a separate room. All the doctors are at the hospital.
You really, like, work at a hospital?
Not a hospital. It's like a military clinic.
Well, you said it's Fairfax Hospital.
Oh, it's a Fairfax Family Health Center clinic.
It's a clinic?
What is it, like a VD clinic?
No, it's a military clinic.
Military clinic?
Yes.
Or can't you give us, like, a yippee?
Yippee.
No, I mean, really do it loud. If you want to qualify for anything more, you have to really, really scream it out.
Mm-hmm. Okay, but I might get fired for this.
Well, then that's stupid. If you choose not to get fired, you have to make the decision. Life is full of decisions.
Okay, I want the DVD. Yippee!
Not good enough.
Well, now you may get fired and you still didn't qualify.
But you do still get the chicken sandwich.
Okay.
Okay?
Thank you.
I thank you. We appreciate the fact you listen to the show.
I love you.
I love you. Thank you, my friend.
Yes, thank you.
Oh, hold on.
It could be worse. Could be taking blood.
Jesus Christ. That's it. Gotta go see you tomorrow with a new one. Thank you. Good night, Buzz.
Thank you, and good night, Don.
Thank you. Good night, Mike.
Thank you. Good night, Don.
Robbie.
Sid.
Danny. Listen, Sid.
Yeah.
Throw your Santa Claus hat in the air. Just like Sid. Tyler Moore.
You might just make it after all.
You bounce it.
Oh!
Hickory dickory dock.
Come on, Dave. Let's go to the car.
See you tomorrow.
Come on, everybody.
Bye-bye.
So we meet again. Sammy Davis Jr. saying, be kind, be nice, and I hope the next performer has the pleasure of having as nice an audience as you've been tonight. And let me leave you swinging.